about.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I think you heard me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Over $1 million is going to be spent to become the mayor of Minneapolis, a $100,000 a year job. You're not the ones that are deciding who you vote for. The media and the money is. I am cool with making $100,000 a year. I will not take money from the developers. I will not take money from the political angle. I will not even go to the strip clubs anymore. Wake the f*** up. I'm Jeff Wagner. I approve this message.
And now.
What? How does this? What is? Huh?
Our feature presentation.
A lot of good questions.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday, the 11th of August.
I think about this a lot when I'm operating any kind of machinery or driving a car or riding on an airplane. I think it's a miracle that anything works. When you think about what's involved and how many things can go wrong and how much technology and knowledge.
And if it was on your shoulders to make work?
Oh, how, absolutely.
How badly we would do?
I don't like to think about that when I'm on a plane, ever.
I can't help myself.
What if it comes down to me flying this plane?
No.
I have often talked about that if there are a Walking Dead situation and most of the smart people were killed and there were only a few of us stragglers left, assuming I'd be one of the ones who live. Well, you could say goodbye to electricity. You could say goodbye to toasters. You could say goodbye to TV. You could say goodbye to all the things that other people were able to invent because none of that stuff's coming back.
How is toasters your second example?
Because toast is my favorite food. You guys know that. So what I'm saying is none of that stuff is coming back. It's
right.
All gone.
No toast. Okay.
And I think of all of that because
I don't want to live in that world.
Right?
I don't want to live in a world with no toast.
Toast is my favorite food was just said.
Well, it is. And I was thinking how amazing it is that this radio station ever gets on the air and stays on the air and broadcasts, especially our show, especially when you put the beer mug factor in.
What?
Mugs.
Folks don't know behind the scenes, we're barely on the air today thanks to mugs. I mean, we're really being held together with wire and chewing gum at this point.
Pretty much every day, too.
Every day, but
we come in and it's like somebody overnight sabotaged the whole thing and we have to figure out what it is. It's a puzzle.
Right, but beer mug too, though, right?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily help.
It doesn't help. Okay.
But you know what? Beer mug's here.
Right.
In comparison with our little friend.
Yes, yeah. By the way.
Rockstar Chip.
Right. Rock and roll Chip all of a sudden can't make it in.
Let's call her.
She got home at what time? 4?
Yeah, I think I got a text about 4 saying, just got in. She was driving from Utah last night at, what time, 9:30 or something like that.
Let's call her.
Do we have her number?
Yeah, I have her number.
Dial it.
All right.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, she gets to sleep. She could get woken up for a second.
That's true. Okay.
Chip, I just want to double check you're not coming in.
That's what we're going to say.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Thanks for the heads up.
Here's how it's going to go.
Okay,
I'm going to say
hello. And then she's going to say hello.
Uh huh.
And then you're going to say, so Chip, you're not coming in.
Right.
Oh, here we go.
So Chip, you're not coming in. Okay, I got it.
All right.
Okay, here it goes.
Practice.
So Chip, you're not coming in?
Good.
It wasn't believable. Here we go.
This is mean, Kevin. I can't believe you wanted to do this.
No. What a terrible idea you had.
Life of a rock star. We're losing Chip, by the way. This is the beginning of the end.
Probably.
She is out cold.
Oh, this is...
Oh, rest in peace.
Roadie's going to answer.
No.
No.
Oh.
We got 2-0. That's all.
Nope.
At the tone.
Can figure it out from two numbers.
When you have finished,
are we leaving a message?
Sure.
Hang up or press 1 for more options.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Go ahead. Wait, what happened to the thing I was going to say?
No, you
said. Now. So, Chip, you're not coming in?
Nailed it.
Yeah!
I feel good about that.
Yeah. Chip said in her email that they were, and I knew this was not going to work.
Yeah,
they played a concert in North Dakota.
Yeah,
2 nights ago, I guess, and it took 30 hours to drive back to her house in Orange County.
Yeah, they had problems with the van. I don't know, They had to stop and fix, and it took a lot longer than they thought it was going
to
take.
30 hours to get back in a road trip. By the way, they had problems with the van on the way out, the first leg in Las Vegas. Remember? They had to, did you see the
video?
Overheated. They had to pull over to the side of the road in the middle of the desert. Ah, being a rock star.
That's rock and roll,
glamorous,
huh?
Isn't it?
Woo.
So, all right. So Chip is not coming in.
Right.
Mm-mm.
That's what we learned. All right. Mission accomplished. I feel good about that.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, man, you got this. Don't worry about it. I've been watching you the whole show. Real talk.
Dr. Drew's on the show today like he is on Thursdays.
I'm excited he's on today because he can blow the lid off of what we have all been seeing on our TVs during the Olympics in Rio, which is these athletes that are cupping. The athletes that you see on screen that look like they've been attacked by some sort of a giant sucking monster. Apparently they're doing that to themselves on purpose. Nope. Nope. What? Nope.
Said a giant sucking monster.
Right. That's what it looks like.
Because this is my nickname in college. Which is nice.
Also on the show, we're going to talk to Dr. Mo about how is it possible to break a penis.
And three times.
Dennis Rodman said he's done it three times.
Well,
if anybody would have, it would have been Dennis Rodman.
Right.
Comedian Jimmy Pardo in studio.
He's my closest friend in show business, you know.
Right. That's what you say every time he's on.
It's true.
And then you don't talk to him until the next time he's on.
We text about every few months or so.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're tight.
How do you keep up with that blistering pace? Brand new internet roundup on the show today. Bean is traveling. Bean is leaving his house and going to a show. And we're going to try and guess who it is because Bean doesn't go to shows even if he thinks, hey, that sounds great. Oh, but I don't go anywhere. This particular time he says he's actually going to leave his house and go.
It's a major, major star.
And when he says major, major star, you need to hear tiny, tiny, insignificant.
Who, it's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see this performer. So that's why I'm excited. Hmm.
Why does Ralph Garman hate America?
That's a great question.
No.
Try and answer that on today's show.
He's always giving Nazi salutes. I know that much.
I don't think that's true at all. That's the only thing you know, and it's just false. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat Next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Big shakings. Big doings.
Big shakings or big doings?
Big shakings and doings with the CBS network. They had a big day in front of the Television Critics Association yesterday. Lots of big news about their network, including, Zoo's coming back. Zoo's coming back for a third season. Come on, Zoo.
Did you say a third season?
Third season of Zoo we can look forward to. We can all watch. Finally, we can all relax. Now we know we're going to get a third season of Zoo.
And that is a show that is on the air currently?
Yes! The show Zoo.
So they're releasing all three seasons at the same time?
No.
When were one and two?
In the past two seasons.
What?
Zoo was on. People were loving it. And now we get more Zoo. Yes.
Huh.
No one's liked the show ever more than people have loved Zoo.
Let's see if we can guess what a show called Zoo is about.
All right. By the way, I won't be able to tell whether you're lying or telling the truth because I have no idea what the show Zoo is about. I'm guessing... This is just off the top of my head.
Same.
It involves some sort of enclosure where animals are kept.
Really? Because I was thinking it was probably some sort of fancy name for people.
What?
Things that people do, ways that people live and interact and stuff. My guess is it doesn't have anything to do with animals.
I think maybe you're looking way too deep.
It's bad example, Bean.
Wow.
Let's say they were attacked by a giant sucker monster.
My guess is it's for people. Zoo.
I don't think it has anything to do with animals. That's my guess. I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of it before. I don't know who's in it.
Let's go to Allie McKay for the answer, shall we? Allie?
It is a thriller based on James Patterson's best-selling novel. Apparently, it's about a guy overseas safaris in Africa begins to notice the animals are exhibiting strange behaviors.
Mm.
It's now a pandemic all over the world.
What?
The animals are taking over.
No!
What?
Zoo.
CBS cares.
Not what Bean said.
No, it's very much about animals.
Yes.
I mean, it's right there in the title.
Yeah.
Bean, you were trying way too hard to give him a lot of credit.
Well, I felt like I would
have... Sometimes when the human being feels like he's captured and he can't express himself...
I thought it was about a private detective named Johnny Zulecki, and his nickname is Zoo.
I just felt like if there was a show about wild animals, I would have heard about it. So I figured it must not be. Okay, so zoo's coming back.
Because you're on the wild animal.
He's got a Google alert.
He does.
Wild animal website.
Who's in it, Allie? Anyone we've ever heard of?
Sure. What you got there is...
Clark Himbolt? Is he still in it?
Can't find any information.
Neville Von Klock? Is he
Hold
still
on.
In it?
Let me click on IMDb now.
Okay, and, everyone, just go about your business.
Oh, well, James Wolke.
There you go.
Kristen Connolly.
Right.
Okay.
Nonso and Ozzy.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together right. here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
That's true. Yeah. Sorry. That's our bad.
I don't know any of these
Who's
people.
Who's in it? Hey, extra question guy.
Every time.
He extra. Also, the president of CBS also told the TV Critics Association he's looking to extend the contracts of the Big Bang Theory stars, as you can imagine. Still one of the biggest sitcoms on television, looking to get them to extend their deals past the upcoming 10th season of that show. At this point, the three major leads are currently raking in a $1 million per episode.
That'd be all right.
And they said they'd be interested in re-upping their contract. Yeah, I Weird. Bet they would. Also, CBS announced that Britney Spears will be doing a carpool karaoke with James Corden later this month, so people are looking forward to that.
Who's going to be doing the singing for her, does it say?
Oh, no, you didn't. All in all, President Glenn Heller says CBS is in great shape as soon as they can unload that awful radio division.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, so odd. We'll have to wait and see how that pans out. Jennifer Lopez will be starring in a new film on HBO about legendary drug kingpin Griselda Blanco. Most powerful female cartel member of all time. Are you familiar with Griselda Blanco?
No, I'm not.
Oh, it's fascinating. She basically revolutionized the drug trade in the U.S. during the 70s and 80s. And the film would be called The Cocaine Godmother. Yeah.
Is that a final answer
How
for their name?
How dare you, sir.
Or a placeholder.
That screams drugs and crime, that title. The Cocaine Godmother.
I was going to guess that that show had nothing to do with an elderly lady or drugs.
Yeah. You're
I
spot on.
It'd be a person who's actually taking care of a child named Cocaine after her parents have died. You're the worst.
Why do some people tune out?
Sorry, it's before 6. We're going to go on at 6. Everything's going to fall right into place.
Looks like he's attacked by a giant sucking monster. Bad example. Bean. You know what no one has said when they watch those guys in the Olympics? When they pointed at Michael Phelps and go, wow, it looks like he was attacked by a giant sucking monster. What's wrong with you?
There's so much wrong with
you. On?
Look. Right?
No!
No, she didn't say anything.
Hickeys all over him, bruises.
Right.
Right. And no one's ever said, it looks like you got attacked by a giant sucking monster.
And what would cause hickeys on an athlete? A giant sucking monster.
A woman?
Or a giant sucking
That's
monster.
That's what he calls women. That is just sad.
That's rough.
We just got to the bottom of it, and we are not pleased.
Who's we? Is that the royal we?
Yes.
Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hulk Hogan, 63 years old today. Really? Nothing? You do one voice. I got nothing for
right?
you? Nothing on
oh,
that end?
Was that my cue? Yeah. That's right, brother.
Half-hearted at best.
So bad, and I love it.
Viola Davis is 51 years old today. Amanda Waller, Suicide Squad.
Who was she?
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis.
Oh, okay. That was her character. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She was Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad.
I gotcha.
Who was Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad? I can't give you any more information than that. She was Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad.
Got it.
Right?
Was there Viola Davis in that movie, Ralph?
Nope.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Murder.
It's the best.
Joe Rogan, 49 years old.
Joe.
Today. Anna Gunn, 48 years
Anna.
Old. And Chris Hemsworth.
Hemi.
Is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes or Park Hopper Passes for you once again this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've really been doling out to Disney this past couple weeks, right? Go to KROQ.com for more information and another chance to win. We got it for you coming up in minutes here on KROQ. Also, my good personal friend, Jimmy Pardo, on the program
not
today.
Your good personal friend. Stop saying that.
He doesn't really know what a good personal friend is. So
you text with him sometimes. You trade tweets.
Every couple of months.
That's not a personal friend.
That's as close as I get, you guys.
It's
you
a guy
that.
You know.
He's my best friend in all of show business. He'll be joining us. And Dr. Mo as well, talking about why you keep breaking your penises.
You guys will never believe the show I'm going to travel to.
Oh, I'm going on a road trip. It's rock and roll excitement.
I'm going to leave my house. What do you think of that?
It's a huge star with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Look, I don't know why you guys are so fixated on this. All of us at some
it's
point.
It's going to be the best show ever.
All of us at some point. Many people
you
at some
be
point.
So jealous when you find out where I'm going and what I'm doing.
Many people at some point go, hey, there's a thing happening that is worth traveling to.
Right.
It's not
yes.
unusual or uncommon for
right.
somebody to do
okay.
that.
Okay, but hold.
It's
hold.
Not any different, Kevin, than you going to Lollapalooza
right. hold.
Or.
But hold.
Zip, what? Zip.
I actually go to Lollapalooza.
Right.
And other people actually go to things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You think they sound great and stay home.
Right. Except for when I go. Like when I went to London and saw Taylor Swift at Hyde Park. I did that. That's a concert that I traveled to go see.
Well, that was the only reason you went to London.
Well, that's true. I was there anyway. But my point is...
It's not like you went there for that. You happened to be in London while that show was going on, so you
I
went
planned,
to it.
I planned my vacation around her being there at that time.
Okay,
my
first
my
of
point
all,
is I do go to things.
Unbelievably lame. Second of all, you do go to things. Yeah, you go to 1 in 100 that you claim that you're
going to
go to.
So if you are going to something we know, it has to be completely ridiculous.
Right,
and
it has
lame.
To be lame.
Or else
why,
there'd be
it,
no
why does
reason
it have to be lame?
Because you're the guy who wants to see the world's largest pecan and the largest collection of small things.
World's largest ball of earwax.
You're that,
that exists
guy.
Too.
It should. Okay. It doesn't.
It sounds terrible.
And so you love the minuscule, the minutia, the pointless, the picayune. That's your wheelhouse. So this has got to be spectacularly bad.
So the bigger you sell it, the smaller it is.
Right.
What
remember
if
when you gave that tape ear a pap smear? And that
I
was like a
that.
Big thing, and everyone had to talk about it because that was most cool it, thing ever in the history of doing.
You guys are going to be so jealous.
Oh, wait to hear what I did. Well, so we're just—it's just we know we've learned we're not
okay.
idiots.
But what if I were to tell you that the person that I'm going to see is a
All right, person, not a band? Okay.
is a multi Grammy Award winner who sold millions of records and has a decades long career with fans around the world who hasn't toured in years and years and years and years. And this is my one chance to see this person that I've been a fan of my whole life and have never seen. What if I were to tell you all of that?
Been a fan of your whole life and never seen.
Yeah.
Multi-gram winner who hasn't toured in years.
Right.
Mel Torme?
Is he alive? I believe Mr. Torme is dead.
Oh. Well, that explains why he hasn't toured. Jeez. This sounds like it might actually be something good, but it can't be.
But because it's been, it can't be.
See, I think I know, and it's not good.
This is sleight of hand. This is, look up here, look up here. And he's waving this over here, and we all fall for it. And meanwhile, we're getting our pockets picked, right?
Because I hate magic.
Here's what I will say, though.
I'm not looking up here. That's true.
Here's what I will say is that, Ralph, I don't know that you'd, if this person were playing in Los Angeles, which he or she is, by the way, I don't know 100% that you'd go, but if you went, I think you'd have a good time. Allie, I think you'd be totally down. I think you'd really be on board.
I would not.
Kevin, you would hate because you hate old people.
All right, so someone old. Old. Been around forever.
You would consider someone old.
Been around forever.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask a question? Why don't we go around and guys ask questions to kind of narrow down who this person might be, perhaps?
Mm. All
right. I'm telling you at
we've
the
all
end.
We've written down our answers,
we have
by
all
the way.
Written,
we're
showing, them
we're
to
showing
each, other.
Each other a piece of paper with
all right, well,
written down.
I didn't realize you were ahead of me there.
All right.
Then if you want to start guessing, that's fine.
No, we can ask questions. That's fine.
What form of music?
This person was a pop star.
Pop star.
Pop
okay.
star.
And then I'm out, I think, right?
Okay. Pop star.
Because I was going to guess Ringo Starr. I don't think you would consider him pop.
But also, Ringo tours every 4 minutes.
You can't not see Ringo Starr. Yeah. Well, you accidentally see Ringo Starr
he's
if you got
in
your house.
He's playing in the parking lot right now outside the station. Yes.
Wow.
I had no idea he toured at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Never
stops.
Ringo Starr and his all-star band.
All right, so pop. Used to be pop.
Pop. Okay. Mm-hmm. Has this singer... Ooh. Has this singer who has not toured in many, many years... Was he currently recording? Was he releasing new music?
He has released new music in the last couple of years, but to not much audience.
Mm.
So it's not like a person who's still getting hits on the radio contemporary.
Right. Is this a European artist?
Mm.
Yes.
Oh. Is it a British artist?
Yes.
Oh. I got it.
Allie's feeling pretty good about her guess.
I got it.
Both of you guys have it already, really, based on that.
I got it. I got it.
I don't think Kevin has it.
I don't, but I just want to join in.
I have it, and I think she has it, and I think both our answers are equally lame, so I think it could be
I think your answer is so much better than my answer, but my answer's real.
I am deeply offended.
My answer is lame as S.
No.
And I think
you're not
it's
offended
real.
By any of this. You know
I
it's
am.
True.
No, I'm deeply offended that you guys are assuming it's somebody lame. I really am.
Well, that's a given. It's just how what degree of lame.
All right. Are we going to unveil here?
Can I ask you, is he by chance performing tonight in Los Angeles?
I am unaware of the rest of the tour schedule. I just peeped out the date that was nearest to me that I could go to.
Here's the question I have that will answer 100% one way or the other.
Uh-oh.
Has this artist ever performed under another name?
I will say yes.
Oh, no!
Mm-hmm.
I will say
okay,
yes
then,
to that.
Because now Alice? I'm thrown off. Is this artist by chance, will he never... Give you up and never let you down?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, it's not Rick Astley.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, damn it. I totally thought it was. Oh, I think Ralph's right.
I might be right.
Listen to Bean. I wish.
Allie, that is wouldn't let me down.
That is a great guess because you know that I've been listening to the new Rick Astley album lately, which is phenomenal, by the way. It comes out in America October 7th. And he is not touring the United States, as has been announced so far. He's only touring Europe.
Then...
But Rick Astley is a great guess.
Along with Ralph's answer, maybe did he do one of my favorite soundtracks for my favorite movie?
I don't even know what Allie's asking anymore.
Harold and Maude, is that the movie you're talking about? Is it Cat Stevens, Bean?
It is Cat Stevens, ladies and gentlemen.
It is Cat Stevens.
That is
so
really
much.
Impressive.
Thank you. Thank
and
you so
much.
And
for folks who are unfamiliar, here's 30
everyone,
seconds.
Everyone, by the way, is unfamiliar.
Here is 30 seconds of Cat Stevens.
Remember the days of the old schoolyard? Another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. Class card and sativas, baby, I know. I'm being followed by a moon.
We get it.
You got a lot of good songs.
Yeah, we get it.
You got a lot of songs.
All right, we get it.
You get a lot of songs. Good or bad, it's up to you.
I fully support it.
Oh,
I thought you might, but Ralph, I thought you might support Cat Stevens as an artist.
What if I told you...
Pap Stevens. Pablum Stevens.
I lost my virginity to a Cat Stevens song.
Even more of a reason to hate him.
No, even more of a reason to be pathetic, because it wasn't his version. It was the Maxi Priest version.
Of Wild World?
Of Wild World.
Bean hopes to lose his virginity at this show.
Cat Stevens.
He's hoping.
Come on,
he later
Ralph.
Became an extreme Muslim.
He's
and then,
not an extreme Muslim.
And declared a fatwa against Salman Rushdie.
He did do that. That's actually true. Yes.
Extreme, man. The guy who wanted to kill Salman Rushdie.
He was misinformed on that one. But look, here's my point.
How far are you traveling to see Cat Stevens?
He is playing in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
September 27th.
I support it.
It's going to be a good show, you guys.
Yeah.
Cat Stevens. Ralph Cat Stevens.
That is some lame
BS I felt like I would have... I knew Kevin hates all oldies, but I felt like I would have you on Cat Stevens.
Lame.
So no one's going with me.
Lame.
I think it's great, but I'm not going.
Why would you travel a minute to go see that has-been?
Well, first of all, he still has a lot of great songs that I've never had the opportunity to see live. I think it's going to be a real good show.
You know,
why does anyone go to anything?
Here's the thing that we are forgetting. He's not going to go to this either.
Oh, I forgot.
He's just not.
it really helps put things in perspective. When
it
I
sounds great, and he's making plans, and then he won't do it.
That's right. I forgot I had Marty coming over to trim the hedges that day.
Thursday morning here on the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are coming up on the end of the first week of the Olympics in Rio. Millions of Americans every night sit down on their couches and watch the events and root for the United States of America.
But USA! USA!
Can I name
USA.
One person who is not that person? And that's our own Ralph Garman, who apparently hates America.
Ralph hates America.
I don't hate America at all.
Ralph hates America.
That guy says you do.
That is metal, by the way. I love that. I don't hate America at all.
Are you or are you not rooting for the U.S. athletes in the Olympic Games in Rio?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you root for other countries?
Yes. I root for the most interesting story.
Ralph hates America.
Please explain.
Here's the thing. First of all, I love the Olympics because I don't think there's nearly enough us versus them in this world. I love things that pit us against other nations and other peoples, finally, because it's a little bit, it gets boring with all the togetherness and how we all get along.
Right.
So I like just random contests that pit us against other nations and make everybody really sort of angry and nationalistic. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you're definitely positive. Voting for Donald Trump.
Then. That's a positive. But this nationalism, It's empty. It's false. USA, USA, the country has nothing to do with the achievement of these remarkable athletes.
You don't think it's patriotism versus nationalism?
I don't, because...
What's the difference? I'm sorry.
Patriotism is pride in your country, but right. Nationalism takes it to a level of we're better than you.
Both are true.
See, Allie, this is what I'm afraid of.
I'm just kidding.
These are the people. These are the Olympic fans that worry me.
I'm just joking.
Because it's empty. It doesn't really mean anything. If Michael Phelps is a great swimmer, and he is, and he's remarkable, and I love watching him because he's the best in the world, it really has nothing to do with the United States. It doesn't reflect on me as an American or this country.
He's a U.S. Olympian that's swimming, though. He's representing the United States.
I understand that he's a U.S. Olympian who's swimming. I'm saying... His achievement is remarkable in and of itself, but it has no reflection on me. It doesn't make me any better or the country any better because he's a good swimmer. There's no connection to this pervasive feeling of nationalism and patriotism because of his work.
Okay,
but Ralph hates America.
It's just he's a great athlete, and that's great to watch.
Let me put it this way, Ralph. Tell me if this analogy holds water. You look at a professional sports franchise with a tremendous amount of success, like the New England Patriots, for instance, and that reflects well on their organization for putting in the time and the effort and the training and the recruiting and everything else that they do to put a world-class product on the field.
But does it make New England great?
Yeah.
It makes that organization great.
Right.
And in this case of the Olympics, the United States is the organization that is winning more medals than any other country in the world. So I think it does reflect on the United States as being the place where we're getting it done.
Here's the thing. Dozens of athletes who were born, raised, and trained in the United States are competing in Rio under the flags of other nations.
Right.
So what about those
And is
those
that
American
because they weren't
athletes?
Good enough? To be on America's team, so they had to go to other teams.
But if you're rooting USA, USA, what about those American athletes? Shouldn't you root for them as
well? I'm rooting for the best American athletes, and they didn't make the cut.
Okay. Then how about Yinjun Feng, our table tennis champ?
Guy's good.
I'm sorry, Tom Feng.
He does go by Tom,
because
yes.
He lives in Georgia. Mm-hmm. He is a Chinese national.
Yes.
Who wasn't good enough to make the Chinese table tennis team.
Oh.
So he's playing for USA. Tom. Go, Tom. You're not fooling anyone, Yijing, by the way, by calling yourself Tom.
So you're asking, do we root for him because he's an American
You're
who
simply
lives in
rooting
Georgia.
For him because he has USA on the back of his shirt.
Yeah, that matters. It does matter.
But what?
It doesn't matter to you? Like for example, if
the
Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl, aren't you proud as a Philly guy? It's just a bigger scale than that. Isn't that true? Aren't you?
I know. I'm happy because that's my favorite franchise, but
right.
I don't think it makes Philadelphia a better city.
You just take pride in it. It's not that it makes you better.
But Kevin, USA, that chant is very different than rooting for your team to win an event. There's a sense of nationalism and patriotism that comes with the Olympics that is unlike any other sports competition.
Right, which is what makes it better.
But it's empty. It's not real. It's fictional. It's theater.
Who hurt you?
I'm just saying, let's be realistic about it.
Ralph loves communism.
So does it not make sense to you when an American sits down and watches the Olympics and automatically roots for the team that's representing his country?
No.
Does it make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense to me. It's there's a disconnect there. That it's a fictional connection between who's competing and you as an American. A lot of people buy into it and say, well, that's who I have to root for. Somehow this represents our nation. It's important for our nation for this person to win this thing because somehow it reflects on me as an American.
It's
just not the case.
When you see an athlete up on the podium and you see that American flag being raised and they've got a tear in their eye and you start hearing the beginning of our national anthem, you don't get moved by that?
I was as much moved as by the British synchronized diving team, the young Brit who was competing in his first Olympics, who was crying by the pool because he couldn't believe in his first Olympics he had won a medal.
Well, that guy's a baby.
No, it was really touching to watch him lose it and to be consoled by his older mentor partner who had dived with him. That was a great Olympic story. I love watching people achieve their dreams and be great, but I don't think because that Brit won a medal that it was any worse or better than the Americans. I don't think there's any national connection to the success of these people. I'm impressed and envious and congratulatory about their personal achievement, but I don't think it really means anything in terms of ranking of nations. If we get more medals, we're the best. We get more medals, we're a better country.
Well, that's true.
It's not true. But that's what I'm trying to get through.
But by
you.
Definition, if we get more medals, we are the best at the Olympics.
Right? No, we are
by
nothing.
By definition.
We
America.
Bean, who lives in a glass jar,
right.
He's not at all participating in how many awards go to whoever. You have nothing to do with
it. Bean pays taxes, some of which go to help train the U.S. athletes.
What do you
think?
Boom! What about those who were trained in Olympic training facilities now competing under other flags? Then if it's all about your tax money and where it's going, and they train the best,
saying that's the tie-in,
then
though.
Follow those athletes as well. I'm saying if that's your connection, Kevin, if that's what you're focused on, then you should also be following those athletes very closely as they compete for other countries because you're proud of the USA training facilities and how the Olympics train their athletes, then follow those athletes as well.
Wait,
right?
We're paying for them to go.
You paid for their training. You paid for their development.
Train here and then they go someplace else to compete.
Well, don't let them back in. That's a BS.
Right. Build a wall.
F them.
Build a wall and make them pay for
Wait,
it.
Wait, is Donald Trump right?
This is my point. This is all murky BS that's been fed to you that you have been taught to learn and think this way, but it's just BS.
I feel like we need some colors.
I do too. I think we're going to need to crowdsource this because we're not making any kind of headway here against Ralph. So why is Ralph wrong? That's the question that we're asking, right? 1-800-520-1067. As an American, shouldn't you root for the American athletes at the Olympics? Ralph says no for some reason.
But look at the bigger picture I'm saying. It's the whole Olympic facade. It's the illusion. Like Qatar, the country of Qatar, it's got 39 athletes competing at the Olympics.
Right.
23 of which were born outside of Qatar and were recruited, transplanted, and moved in and made citizens so they could compete for them. They got boxers from the Sudan. They've got runners from Kenya. They've got the best that they could pick and choose, cherry pick from around the world.
Right.
Now, if Qatar wins anything in those Olympics with those athletes, is it really, yes, we're the best country, let's root for us?
That's why I don't root for them. That is BS.
But
I root for America.
But I would say that's an extreme example of most 4%, of the people not...
4% of athletes on every team, Kevin, come from other nations.
Okay, so it's 96% American.
3% of people who live anywhere are living in other countries where they were born.
Oh, this got about math, and I
don't do math.
So more people are competing for other nations than live in other nations in the world.
I think the people who are watching from Qatar can still be pleased and proud that those athletes won wearing their colors.
Okay, how does that all tie
because
in?
Because their Olympic committee are the ones who drafted them, trained them.
We draft best. So you're proud of the drafting.
I think that's all part of it, though, is who you get on your team.
Do you think the most people look at it that way, Bean? Is that how you think most people look at it?
I don't think so.
I do.
Yeah, you're fooling yourself.
I don't think so, Bean.
You're fooling yourself.
Here's all I know. Here's all I know.
Ralph is Al-Qaeda.
Ralph might be Al-Qaeda. 1-800-520-1067. Let's help talk Ralph back to within the shadow of the Statue of Liberty where he belongs. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. All right, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, state quickly your premise, please, then we'll go to the callers.
I think when it comes to the Olympics, the us versus them mentality, the we're better than them based on the remarkable athletic achievements of these athletes is a little hollow. It's a little empty. It seems to be manufactured. in a lot of ways. And I think it does a detriment to the amazing individual achievements that these people have dedicated their lives.
What about these individual people who have dedicated their lives and their entire workout, all their free time? When they put on the U.S. jersey, to them, it means something so much more.
You're assuming that's the case?
No, I've heard many of them say that.
Sure, and I'm sure every other person who puts on a jersey of another, or some of them, put on a jersey of another country, feel the same way.
Right.
But I'm saying it has nothing to do with the athletes. I'm not denigrating the athletes or their performance or how they feel
at
all.
I'm
talking about the fans, the people who say, I'm better. This reflects on me somehow. This reflects on our country somehow. I'm better because that guy was good. That's a fallacy. There's a disconnect there that people aren't recognizing.
Well, Paul thinks you're wrong. He's in West Covina. Let's talk to him first on line 4, please, here on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, Paul.
How you guys doing?
We're good. All right. Set Ralph straight. I'm not sure I want you to be the spokesperson on the other side, but let's hear what you got.
Ralph's just a dick. That's all it is.
All right, but now let's back that up with some facts.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right. These are your people, like, Kevin. Congratulations.
That didn't go quite as well as we
hoped. That's what I'm talking about.
I didn't pick that guy.
No, these are the people.
Let's try Jason, line 3, please. He's in Los Angeles. See if he can do a little better.
Hey, Jason.
So far, it's Ralph all, callers none.
Hey, Jason.
Should be proud because American athletes are a representation of the quality of our country, whether it's through our sports science achievements or even our economy that helps fund them to build these great athletes.
Why is that bad?
No, it's good. I'm saying we should be proud.
I'm sorry, the athletes are a representation of our country?
The quality of our country.
The quality of our country.
To provide the training and as well. It
so
shows
our country is better. Our country is, exactly. is the best because they win awards.
Exactly.
Okay, how about how America students rank in education? How about where America ranks?
Olympics.
How about an American ranks in obesity?
We
it's
are
not
the best.
The education Olympics. It's the sports Olympics.
Yeah, we don't have to be have best at everything.
But
this is just one
let's
thing.
Not, it doesn't represent that America's a better country if these
in
guys
sports.
Win awards.
In athletics. We're not saying overall. We're just talking about the Olympics. It's an athletic achievement.
I mean, look, I agree with you, by the way, Jason. Look, the United States is best in the world at playing basketball. Would you agree with that, Ralph?
Yes, I would.
Okay. And I think that's the starting point for how we feel about the rest of the events. The events that we win gold in are the events where the America is better than the other countries at playing that sport at the Olympics.
Yeah, not at everything. Just
not at everything.
That sport.
But it's the things we win.
You guys are misinterpreting, I think, the average reaction of the people who watch the Olympics and chant USA and thump their chest and find some sort of national pride in the achievements that are of these unique individual athletes. What happens in the year if you don't win the gold? What if you just win the silver or the bronze? Are we less of a country then? Are we not as good? Is America not the best country in the world?
We're not as good at that sport in that Olympics.
I think you're overestimating what people think about winning gold at the Olympics.
I think you are misinterpreting how the average person reacts to, like the first guy we talked to is like, this is the best country in the world, man.
Yeah, the first guy we
There's
talked to is
a lot of those people,
shaky.
Kevin. That's what I'm talking about. It's that sentiment that I'm talking about, not you breaking it down into, well, it's just basketball and this represents the training and the drafting of the Olympic
committee. Well, that's what it is, though.
But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the nationalism and the jingoism and that I'm talking about. You're addressing a different issue.
Do we have a jingle for Ralph? Do we have anything that will really start?
Ralph hates America.
That's what I heard. All right, let's go to Mike in Pasadena. He's up next. He's on line 5 on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning. I have a compelling argument for Ralph that I think he will even agree with this, although I see his point very, very well. So, the culture of the United States helps breed these excellent athletes. China, for example, has a huge pool of people to pull from, and by rights, they should have more winning athletes than anybody else in the world just based on population. But the culture of the United States breeds this excellence, not just in athletics, but also in business and other things.
Yeah, but Russia was the Olympic champion for many, many years. Was their national culture, was that a better way to breed winners?
Well, certainly, look at where it has them now. I mean,
Ralph loves communism.
Look at where they are now. Their national culture was essentially to cheat, a government-sponsored cheating, and look where it got them. They're thrown out of the Olympics in track and field.
And that scene, that does reflect poorly on them, no?
But for many years, they would draft, they would kidnap, basically, these kids and force them into programs and develop them. And they were winners for many, many years throughout the Olympics. Was that culture of breeding winners, was that a positive thing?
Absolutely not. For sure. I'm just saying that...
Well, I'm saying winning winning for winning's sake isn't necessarily...
But it's not winning for winning's sake. We don't... In the United States, they don't dope every athlete like Russia does.
I'm not saying they do, Kevin. I'm saying they won for many, many years. You can't just say that winning is automatically evidence of a successful national culture.
But wouldn't you agree that our culture as a nation helps these athletes achieve what they do?
Does living in America, is that a positive for them in terms of helping them achieve their dreams? Absolutely. But I'm saying you can't necessarily translate that into America's a great country and I am somehow lifted up because that person won a gold.
Okay, flip side. What if we never won gold again? At every Olympics, maybe we got like five bronzes. Wouldn't that reflect on us as a country? Like, oh, we're not as good
anymore.
Would
you really feel bad about America if they didn't win every 4 years at a track meet?
Yeah, I would want them to step it up. Why not? Well, that should be the goal. Why not?
I'm saying...
Why wouldn't you want them to?
Of course you want to win. You guys are missing the point, I think. You want to win when there's a competition. You would like to see USA win. Of course, I would too. I'm saying, at what level of importance do you put on it? At what significance does it actually literally have for the culture of a country? Because every 4 years... someone does well in volleyball or someone throws a discus very well. How does that really translate into how well your country is, how good your country is in a given situation?
Here's my answer, and then we are out of time, I'm sorry to say, and that is if I can feel good about myself by just sitting on the couch watching TV, I'm going to go ahead and take that opportunity to do that.
I think that's what everyone is doing. They're taking that opportunity to do that.
I'm sorry, Beans on our side.
I do see your point. I do really see your point.
Well,
it's just that I do think that the culture of America helps breed these extraordinary athletes.
Well, then you won't see Ralph at the next Al-Qaeda meeting, I guess.
Ralph loves ISIS.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
We promised you brand new music from Green Day, and we will deliver on that. The new song is called Bang Bang, and you'll be hearing it right here on the world-famous K-Rock immediately after Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, speaking of the Olympics, Ryan Lochte's got some problems.
He's always had some problems.
No, but he's got green hair now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was silver.
He is the Joker.
He's got green hair.
But it was silver the other night.
Right? But then Rio happened.
Oh, no.
Right? Rio.
Wait, was it on purpose or was this...
Was what it... on purpose?
His hair color.
He dyed
silver.
His hair.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just checking. The pool turned green. I don't know what the hell's going on down there.
That's what happened to his hair.
Oh, no.
The pool turned green. Now his hair has turned green because whatever happened to the pool happened to his head.
Oh, no.
Right?
Is it chlorine? Is that...
They've got a team of scientists working on it to break it down.
Very
to find
concerned
out what's going
about Ryan.
We all are.
I've heard it was USA,
USA, right?
Oh, jeez.
Because his hair is more important than other people's hair.
Well, a lot of what Ryan Lochte does is more important.
What I like is that you're not taking this example to the extreme.
Well,
and I appreciate that about you.
They apparently have re-dyed his hair, and now it is silver again. So
okay, thank God.
We can all relax. Our long national nightmare is over.
I saw a headline yesterday that said something like, Ryan Lochte is the second best swimmer of all time, and no one cares about him.
Yeah, he got more medals than Mark Spitz in the last go-around, and no one cares. It's a little sad.
He's being so overshadowed by Phelps.
Right.
And he's an idiot, too.
Not the sharpest tool.
He's got bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
He's an idiot with bleach blonde hair.
Yes.
If anyone knows about working with an idiot with bleach blonde hair,
I don't.
I'm saying.
What?
I'm not positive.
What?
Jason Momoa, Aquaman. Speaking of swimmers.
That was hurtful.
He is getting another coveted role, it looks like. They're going to remake the movie The Crow, and it looks like Jason Momoa is in talks to play the lead character in that film. Great movie, by the way. The original starred Brandon Lee in 1994, who you may remember was accidentally killed by a blank cartridge, during the filming when the gun went off. And they had enough footage to complete the film anyway, but sadly it was his last film performance. But if you're not familiar, it's based on a comic book about a rock musician who is revived from the dead so he can avenge his own death as well as the murder of his fiancée. And it looks like they're going to remake it.
I feel like they talk about remaking it every year.
They do. It's been in the works for a long time to reboot this franchise, and a lot of hardcore Crow fans are upset about that prospect, but it looks like it's actually going to happen, and maybe Jason Momoa may be the Crow as well as Aquaman.
I feel like people that get upset about this just need to understand whatever you love will be remade, and it's all right.
I think, though, you should just get one superhero role a lifetime. You shouldn't be able to play the Crow and Aquaman. You can't be Superman and the Atom, Brandon Routh, greedy bastard, right? Ben Affleck, you can't be Daredevil and Batman. It's just too much for any person
to
handle.
Well, I think he'd like to forget one of those roles.
It's just too. It's just a, just an embarrassment of riches. The rich get richer, man.
Right?
Like ASAP Rocky. He's got a new girlfriend, Kendall Jenner, apparently. The two are dating now. She says she loves the fact that they're both major players in the fashion world. Okay.
What?
All right. Stop it. That's a good reason for dating someone. Are you a major player in the fashion world? Yes, I am.
That's a strange quote.
That's a merger. That's not a dating.
For the first one we've heard.
And congratulations to Roma Downey. We were just talking about her the other day.
Yeah.
Sure were.
She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. 11:30 at the Sergeant Supply Store. You know that, what do they call it? Army Navy. It's an Army Navy store. Sergeant Supply. They've got...
Sergeant stuff.
Sergeant stuff.
Yeah.
You can get your camping gear and stuff and your camo and things like that. 6664 Hollywood Boulevard. They're Sergeants of Supply.
It's three sixes in there,
right?
By the way.
And for Roma Downey.
Luckily, there's that four that takes the edge off. It's the star is located right next to the star of a gentleman named Mark Burnett, by the way.
I see.
So they'll be there gazing adoringly into each other's eyes. Della Reese will be on hand.
Wow. She was one of the stars of Touched by an Angel.
She was.
She yelled at me at an airport.
What?
Yes.
Why would Delores yell at you?
I don't know.
She must have the devil in you.
She's mad at a lot of stuff.
You've got the devil in you.
I loved her, and I was so sad.
And the pastor of the evangelical megachurch, Rick Warren, will apparently be on hand as well to bless the proceedings, so...
Huh. They're a very religious couple, those two.
What?
Mark and Roma.
The heck you say? Who could have guessed?
All those Bible miniseries.
From their series, The Women of the Bible and The Dove Keepers.
Right.
By the way, they're producing Ben-Hur. That's why I think she's gotten a star. That Ben-Hur movie's coming out.
I was going to say, it seems like it always coincides with whatever some project is coming out.
Ben-Hur, I hardly even know her. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hulk Hogan, 63 years old today.
That's right, brother.
Viola Davis turns 51. Joe Rogan's 49. And a gun turns 48. And Chris Hemsworth celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That's new Green Day called Bang Bang on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What about that, by the way? What about new Green Day? New song in, 4 years or something like that, I think?
Really Green Day?
Yep.
It's very Green Day.
I like it.
All right. Just got some information, Kevin. I did not have this 1 minute ago, but here you go. The new Green Day album will be out on October the 7th, and it is going to be called Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, new Green Day album, October 7th. That is the first single from it called Bang Bang, and we'll play that for you every hour today here on The Kevin and Bean Show. So it's coming up again in minutes. You watch the news? You don't watch the news?
I generally don't.
You don't watch the news. And why is that?
Because I'm a kid.
You're a kid, right. Yesterday, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump, was doing a rally in Florida, and he made a surprising comment. I know it's hard to believe we could still be surprised by anything Mr. Trump says, but here's what he had to say yesterday in Florida.
ISIS, honoring President Obama.
Oh.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
What?
Okay. He's the founder.
Of ISIS?
He founded ISIS.
Okay.
And I would say the co-founder would be Crooked Hillary Clinton.
Well, Crooked Hillary, of course, would be right there, his right-hand man right there. So the president founded ISIS.
Guys, I honestly think he's trying to lose the... He doesn't want to be president.
I mean, I think you have a point, Kevin. Like, what does he have to say before people are like, wait, dude, come on.
Or he's put the pieces together in a way that the lamestream media hasn't in the last 7.5 years. Why don't we find out? It's time for a Trump date.
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show. You've had a busy week, and we appreciate you taking time to talk to us, sir.
I am so busy. It's incredible how busy I am. I'm one of the busiest people in the world.
Well,
and
sure.
A lot of people are saying, only I can be busy.
I've never heard of that. A lot of people are saying it.
I'm hearing it everywhere. You are the busiest guy, and you're the only person who can be busy. And
all
I say, you're absolutely right. And it's amazing. It is an amazing thing that I'm doing. And I do a lot of things.
Yes, you do. Okay. So let's talk about the remarks from yesterday. Now, those who are being charitable say that that's what you said yesterday about the president founding ISIS is just shorthand for his actions while in office withdrawing troops from Iraq led to the rise of Al-Qaeda and then ISIS, and that's why you're pinning the blame on him.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. That's an excellent point. That is a good, good point, what they said. No, I meant he founded ISIS.
Okay, but...
Well, define founded, then.
He's the founder of ISIS.
Right.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder.
Okay, you said that a bunch of times. Right.
ISIS was founded by him.
Right,
but
how?
The guy who said, hey, I need a thing to make. I want to be a founder of something. Oh, ISIS. Okay, there it is. A lot of people are saying that.
Nobody is saying that except for you, Mr. Trump. But how did that even work? Like, how, while he was president of the United States, did he go to the Mideast and get a bunch of guys together in the desert and say, hey, let's start blowing things up?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm asking you how that even happened.
The group ISIS honors him, okay? They honor him.
How do they do that?
They say, we honor you, Obama.
Okay, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's happening.
A lot of people are saying that. A lot of people are saying that.
You're the only one saying it.
Are saying that they honor him. And, by the way, he founded ISIS.
Right, we heard you say that.
He founded ISIS. He said, ISIS, I'm going to find you. Marco Polo, oh, there you are, ISIS, I found you.
Huh. Okay, no, he's trying to find ISIS. He didn't found ISIS. Those words sound similar. They don't mean the same thing.
Obama also created the Zika virus, let's face it.
What?
A lot of people are saying he got into a lab and he got a mosquito and he made the Zika virus.
I don't hear anyone else saying...
He made the Zika virus.
Why?
He made the Zika virus.
Why would he do that?
He made the
Zika
virus.
Okay, right.
He keeps saying it, but why?
He made the Zika virus?
What's his motive to do that?
He made the Zika virus.
Got it.
Right. Okay.
But he didn't. He can't create a virus.
Right?
He's not a scientist. How would he even do it?
He also created the virus that made the Walking Dead people. All those zombies, that was also him.
But they're not real.
Obama killed Han Solo. Let's face it. A lot of people are saying that.
No one.
And it's not true. You can see in the movie it's not true.
Obama put the Kardashians on television. I think it's awful what he did. It's awful.
No. He didn't have any. He didn't have, whoever did it, it should be killed.
It's
but
Ryan
it wasn't
Seacrest.
President Obama.
It is Ryan Seacrest.
It might have been Ryan Seacrest. Yes.
And worst of all, Obama made those awful candy corn Oreos. Uneatable.
Okay,
I can't eat those Oreos. They're awful.
You don't have to eat them.
I opened one up and I scraped the cream off, and it was just disgusting.
Oh,
the
it's
worst.
Awful. It's disgusting.
The worst cookie I've ever had.
Right,
okay, thanks, Obama.
But why do you think he had anything to do with it? There's no evidence to support that.
He hung up.
He was done. All right. Thanks, Obama.
He was out.
All right. We have a very busy show, by the way. Dr. Mo is going to talk about penis injuries. Dr. Drew on the program later to explain Olympic cupping. Our friend Jimmy Pardo is going to be here. But right now, we're going to squeeze in some phone calls from you on any topic. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You got something awesome going on in your life or something we're not talking about that you would like us to be? For instance, by the way, speaking of Donald Trump, how about that? How about Spider-Man yesterday? How about that guy climbing the outside of the Trump Tower 60 floors?
How about that whole thing?
If you want to talk about that, that's fine. Or anything else, you got comments, you got questions, you got problems, we've got room for you right now. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Amin's What's Good coming up right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock. Yes, KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Enough with you.
Stop making those noises. Seriously.
He hates anything fun.
I am the enemy of fun.
Right. Hey, toll free 1-800-520-1067. Why don't you call us? It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good? Hit it,
Steve. Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
It's hard to talk about everything in the world every day. So if we're missing something, we want to hear from you. Or if you have comments or questions or problems or a follow-up, like Jake in L.A. on line one wants to call in to add something to a topic that we had a couple of days ago. Hey, Jake, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Great.
The Dr. Drew segment about millennials not having sex last week.
Yes.
That got me thinking. It reminded me of a segment you guys did maybe like a few months back about people are afraid to have conversations or make friends randomly in public.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what you guys thought about that. You know, is this like a growing kind of trend that's like the bigger picture?
You're asking if people are having more problems making real friends in real life because of that?
Yeah, like, do you think it's connected, you know, people like...
I think people are absolutely, as a whole, and of course there are lots of exceptions and lots of people to whom this does not apply, as a society, people are finding it harder to make friends than they used to. And I think some of it is that we spend so much more time interacting with people electronically.
Hmm.
I think that's absolutely true. What do you think, Allie?
Totally. If we're always down staring at our phone, playing games, staying inside, we're not meeting people. If we're not meeting people, we're not boning people.
And we're not making friends either.
Yeah.
Look, there was a time where you had to talk to people throughout the day because you were at a bus stop or you were at a restaurant or you were, you know, at a concert or whatever.
Right. But then that time ended and we all moved into our own little home where we avoided all people.
No, I don't think that's just what he's saying. I think he's talking about electronic.
That's just being, my bad.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying that as a rule, it's very uncommon for people to talk to one another anymore. And again, I know that sounds dumb.
I find that strange.
I know it
do
sounds,
you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, of course. You don't talk to people?
I do, absolutely. But I think more and more younger people have become so conditioned that if they're out in public, it's so much easier just to look at your phone, look at Facebook, look at Twitter, look at whatever, instead of actually engaging with other people.
And a lot of times I think the electronic relationship, the relationship that you have through text or through Snapchat or whatever it is, I think there's no need in some people's minds to turn it into a personal in real life experience because they already feel like that relationship is being sustained that way.
We guys did do a segment and you had people call in and a lot of people were totally not receptive to, you know, having strangers come up to them and talk to them. So like it did seem pretty common.
All right.
I think so, too. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Jake. You sound like a thoughtful young man. We appreciate it. All right. Let's try James, Los Angeles, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, James, what's good?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
You tell us. What's good?
I was wondering, what was your guys' thoughts on the Proposition 64 on the California ballot this year, the legalization of marijuana?
To legalize marijuana?
In California, I think marijuana absolutely will be legalized. I was stunned that it did not pass last time it was on the ballot. I think you look at what the success that the programs have had in Washington and Colorado, and I think that it's inevitable that most states at some point, and eventually I think it'll nationally be legal.
Awesome.
I can't imagine that California, with all of the money problems that we're having, I can't imagine that that wouldn't also play into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get a lot of tax revenue from that.
And I also think that there used to be for years and years and years, it was hard to find politicians who were willing to go on the record as being pro-drugs because of the stigma. And I think now it is so widely accepted that anyone can say that and they're not going to lose a vote because of it. And I think that's the turning point. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. All right, let's try Nadine. She's in Inglewood, line 7. Sounds like she needs some advice from us.
Hey, Nadine.
Morning, guys.
What's good?
A girl swallowed her pride, contacted X, who was like seriously connected to get a family member a job. Sound engineering, the guy's in the industry. I know he's going to want something, and I don't want to take 10 showers a day.
You don't take 10 showers a day.
Okay, hold on a second. You kind of lost me a little bit. So you're asking if you should call an ex-boyfriend to help a friend of yours get a job?
Family member get a job. Sound
help a family member get a job.
Yeah. The guy's connected, seriously connected, but he's going to want something. It's like, I'm already, like, hunching my shoulder, ducking down, expecting, you know.
Hmm.
Well, you know, baby. I was like, what's your call?
That's an uncanny impression. I don't even know the guy you're talking about, but I love it. I don't know. Look,
who's the family member?
You want to help out your family member. Yeah, are you close to this family member?
Yes, I mean, this graduate got student loan, and he's a good kid, and this guy's connected, and it's like, Jesus, I don't know.
I think you got to do it. I think you got to do it.
Make the call, but have boundaries. I mean, this is all up to you, Nadine. You don't need to do anything.
I know this guy. It was great back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, damn it. Come on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Good.
Allie is right. Make the call. Help the family member, but set boundaries and don't let him manipulate you. Look, the worst that can happen is he can't help the kid. But if he can help the kid, you've done a good thing, and I think you should.
There you go. Thank you for the call.
All right. Got time for a couple more. Who do you like here, Kevin?
Should we take the daily call from Joy in Studio City?
Yes. Every time we do What's Good, somebody calls with this call, but I'm happy to help promote it. Hi, Joy. Welcome to the show. What's good?
Hello there. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. So I heard you guys watch The Night Off.
Yes.
Bean okay. loves it.
It's so great. It's so great.
Okay. So I noticed the other night that James Gandolfini was listed as an executive producer. Do you guys notice that?
Yes.
Yes. He was originally the star of that. The role that John Turturro plays in the show is the role that James Gandolfini was originally going to play. In fact, they even, if I remember correctly, didn't they actually even shoot?
I think one or two,
first episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had to be replaced, but that's why he's still.
Did you see that pilot episode?
Oh, yeah. I totally would. Although I think Turturro is fantastic in it. But of course, you know, Gandolfini was great and everything, too. It would be wonderful. It's such a loss to have lost him.
Joy, let me ask you a quick question about the show. Up until last Sunday's episode, I was thinking, no way Nas did it. No. Wrong guy. He's being framed. I don't like it. And then the last episode, I'm like, oh, maybe Nas did it. Did it change for you at all?
No. I think not.
You think he didn't do it?
He didn't do it.
Okay.
I mean, I think because you like him so much, you want him to be innocent and you want him to not spend the rest of his life in jail. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be an amazing turn of events if he did it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make great television is what I'm saying.
I would be heartbroken.
Bearing in mind that he's not real. We're not really sending a guy to jail. I'm just saying, if he did it, that would make it an awesome show. All right. Well, that's the tip. Thank you, Joy. Appreciate the call. That's the tip, though, you guys. If you're not watching it, steal your mom and dad's HBO Go password and get yourself some The Night of Sunday Nights. It's a great show. And this has been What's Good.
What's Good?
Congratulations to our latest Disneyland annual pass winner. It is Jorge Anchaita from Downey. Thank you so much for listening. Your chance to win coming up. Stephanie, by the way, writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, loving the new Green Day song. And if you have not yet heard it, we will play Bang Bang again for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos and they're mostly on YouTube.
Because we're clicking our mouse in the air.
Like we just don't care.
All right. Thank you.
You know, like you do.
Dave, the King of Mexico, Dave the Mexican, as we now call him, thanks to Bobby Slayton, is in studio with us. Hi, Dave.
What's up?
Bye, Dave.
Really, you're clapping for that?
I liked it. I feel
pretty
he
good.
Sold it. He sold
pretty
it.
Good batch of videos, including these three grannies. These are the same ones, Dave, who listen to heavy metal music and watch crazy TV shows. They just experience things for the first time, even though they're all 80. That's what their hook is, right?
Yeah, they're exploring the modern world.
Right. They're like 80 years old, and this time they go to their first ever pot shop in Amsterdam, and I think they liked it.
I must have got something because it made me cough.
Ladies, round three.
Wow.
Put this on your mouth and you inhale the cannabis.
Oh, this is soft. Is this floor soft? Or is it me?
They're very high and really enjoying it.
I was scared watching this video, by the way.
Really? I was a little bit too.
Because, you know, weed relaxes you, especially like, you know, space cakes and stuff. What sure. if they got so relaxed their heart stopped?
Too relaxed.
I don't, you know? I don't think
like, that. I was a little concerned.
When you're that old, sure.
It's a hell of a way to go, though.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't relax.
Speaking of drugs, though, by coincidence, this next video also involves a little ingestion. I don't know what the deal is with this Giancarlo and Nicole, but this is called Hykea. They got high on LSD. Oof. And then tried to put together an IKEA dresser. And they are so high and laughing so much. No one's ever had a better time putting together furniture. Check them out.
Today, we're taking acid and building furniture from IKEA.
Are we missing pieces?
No, because it's all in the back still.
I'm getting so distracted. Do you have another screwdriver?
You're on your own.
Oh, wait, here's one.
You know, with all the millions and millions of videos on the internet, you have to give them credit, though, for coming up with something nobody's done before, which is dropping acid and then putting IKEA furniture together.
Yeah, because it's a terrible idea.
That sounds tough. Yeah.
Nothing's harder than putting together IKEA furniture. Then you add that
Even
element.
Sober, right?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Dennis Rodman, former basketball great. I don't know what this dude is doing with his life now. But he put together this video talking about three different times that he broke his penis.
So I want you to run and jump in my penis. All right, great. She's screaming. Oh, my God, he's dead. I killed him. Oh, my God. I said, no, honey, I just broke my
What? Yeah, he's got a white girl covered in blood at one point.
Oh, man.
It's pretty awful. We're going to talk to Dr. Mo in about 20 minutes or so about all the ways you can break your penis and what that really means. This video goes all the way back to the Athens Olympic Games in 2004. You're going to think it's a dude, but it's not. It's a newscaster named Mary Carrillo, who has a very low voice. But she is starting off the segment by talking about the difference between the consumer badminton stuff that you play with in your backyard at home and the kind of equipment that they use, the pros use in the Olympics. And then she just goes off on a crazy tangent about what badminton is like in her backyard with her kids. It's kind of weird.
This is the shuttlecock that she used at the Olympics. And even though it doesn't look sophisticated, it has a tree-seeking device implanted in it somewhere. I don't know where, but I've played a lot of badminton with my kids. By the seventh shot, this thing's up in the tree, okay? So then what does your kid do? She says, Mommy, I'll get it down. Throws a racket up in the tree.
What?
Now your racket's up in the tree. She says, don't worry, I'll get that.
COMOD, tree seeking, get it? Because it goes directly into a tree when you hit it.
I think we all got that, Dave.
I don't think so.
Isn't she like going off on a weird tangent right there about
her
own
weird.
Life?
It's pretty odd.
It's strange, yeah.
Having said that, Olympic badminton is badass.
No. Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
It is totally.
It's so fast. Like, you don't even. Boy. Yeah. Come on, Dave. Okay. Get on board.
No. The shuttlecocks go 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Vanity Fair had a great idea for Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress, two very funny guys, to hijack each other's Tinder accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Can you
imagine
how terrified you would be to have somebody else pretending to be you on Tinder and destroy your reputation? And I think this clip we have, I think this is Eric doing it to Andre. Eric doing it to Hannibal. Sorry.
I have diarrhea.
Oh, come on, man. She's too Hey, don't ruin this for me, man.
She's farting on a car.
Why are you farting on that car?
Why are you farting on that car,
Why are you farting on that car? What's that car do to you?
I feel like they might have been on LSD also. They were having way too much fun doing that.
What I learned from that video is Tinder users are funny.
Their couple of the girls were very, very funny.
Yeah. Allie, I'm going to let you set this one up because no one loves Barb on Stranger Things more than you do.
Yeah, Barb exited the show pretty early, and I feel it's unfair, as does most of the world, that Barb is gone.
She was one of everybody's favorite characters on Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yes, but this rap, wow, it's something. These guys are...
They loved Barb.
They loved Barb a lot, and if this doesn't get stuck in your head, you're dead inside.
I only got eyes for one chick, Barb looking sexy in those glasses, and she's thick. I'm trying to hit
R.D. Rest in peace, Barb. I'm sorry that monster rolled up on you so hard.
Really good.
Really good. As usual, because Dave is putting the roundup together, there's a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff, including this one. This is the guy who does the 10-second songs in different styles of musical acts. he decided to do Pokemon because it's from the 90s in 20 styles of the late 90s. So he does a little Nine Inch Nails. He does a little Rob Zombie. I think in this clip he's doing some Smash Mouth and some Destiny's Child.
He's Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch up, gotta catch them all.
He's crazy talented that he can do one of those right. I mean, just to switch gears like that every 10 seconds is amazing, I think. Here's another one of those videos that they put together where all the lyrics from the song are cut from movies. 230 movies edited together so that the movie can sing The Offspring's Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Give it to me,
baby.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Give it
to me, baby.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh.
And all the girly say,
I'm pretty fly
for a white guy.
Pretty incredible.
Sounds good.
It does sound good. fun to watch, though, because you recognize almost all of the movies, too. It's just amazing they're able to do that. This is called A Woman's Guide to Changing a Tire here on the Kevin and Bean Show, looking at a brand new internet roundup. She tries to make everything sexy. Allie, did this work for you at all?
No.
Okay, let's hear some of it.
Now you're going to need to elevate your car. For that, you're going to need to use a jack. Feel underneath your car around the frame where it's nice, hard, and smooth. That's where you want to jack, ladies. Jacking may take what feels like forever, and your arms will get tired, but persevere, ladies.
I don't know that changing a tire needs to be sexy. I don't. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel figured out another great new way to use Snoop Dogg. You know, he already does that that nature show. Now they've got a new show called How's It Made, where Snoop is looking at actual video footage from a factory.
How's It Mizaid?
Mizaid, sorry. I'm not sure I can pull that off, nor could you. He's looking at factory footage, and he's trying to guess what product is being made.
Ugh, what is that, boo-boo? Cookie dough? Manure? Damn, what is it? Oh, beef jerky. Oh, hot dogs. This is a hot dog? Oh, cuz, I ain't never eaten a hot dog, cuz.
By the way, you really don't ever want to eat a hot dog once you see how they're made or know what's in them. It's the parts of the pigs that they can't use for other things like sausage and bacon.
I love them so much.
Pretty,
oh,
pretty
so good.
Tasty. Just,
and finally, our friends at Honest Trailers are the best. And again, we congratulate them for being nominated for an Emmy this year. But they took a look at all the shows that are nominated. And I think they start off talking about Veep here.
Get ready for the reigning champion of political satire in the prestige comedy that mixes The West Wing with The Office in this twisted nightmare version of American politics that also keeps getting one-upped by reality.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
I'm not with her.
How do you make a crazier show about politics than what's going on in the real competition this year, right? Anyway, these videos can all be seen and so much more at KevinAndBean.com or KREC.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Awesome. Now, baby, go watch the internet around up. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
First new Green Day single in 4 years is called Bang Bang, and we'll play it for you again right at the top of the hour after Ralph Garman takes a look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
It is Saturday night.
No, it isn't.
And I ain't got nobody. That is the return of Hollywood Babylon Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Kevin Smith and I will return to the stage there after too long an absence. We'd love to see you. Come on out and check out Hollywood Babylon. We have a good time. Every time we do it, it is improv.com is the website you want to go to get your tickets.
Wow, you got to check it out.
And then at the end of the month, I think we're down.
Has Rodney been there?
In Irvine, California. I think we're doing the Improv at Irvine at the end of the month. So you can check us out there at the Irvine Improv.
You know what? I'm starting to agree with you, I'll tell you.
Find out a lot of details about the new Star Trek series. This is pretty cool. Television Critics Association is going on this week. And Brian Fuller, the producer of the new Star Trek Discovery, is the name of the series. He is talking about details that people want to know about the cast and about the setting of the show. We have found out so far, according to Mr. Fuller, that the show will take place 5 to 10 years before the original series. So that's before the mission that William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and their versions of Kirk and Spock went on. So this is a prequel to the original series, meaning they'll be able to use the technology from that show and the wardrobe. And also, at some point, if they want to, include younger versions of those characters like Kirk and Spock in their own storyline.
Nice. And what year is that going to be? Is it 2400 or something like that, Ralph? Roughly?
What year does it take place in?
Yeah, roughly that Star Trek universe back then. Was it around
the 23rd century, yeah. So,
I guess 23rd century. So yeah. 22-something. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need that information, Bean?
I was curious.
Okay.
I don't have the year that it takes place in here at my fingertips. The show's lead character will be a lieutenant commander on the USS Discovery, because they said they've had six series from the captain's point of view, so they wanted to have a different perspective, so they have a subordinate be the lead character in this show. Looks like a woman will be the lead, and it looks like there will definitely be a gay character on the show as well to make the cast and characters more inclusive and reflective of our society. So that's what we know so far about the new Star Trek series.
It'll be ask on. Another question?
No.
I guess if you have to.
If you were sitting down in that writer's room and you were coming up with the name of the show and you decided, hey, Discovery is a great name for a show, but then you realize that it's going to be called Star Trek STD, would you still go with Discovery or would you change it so that it wouldn't be known as STD?
Well, I don't think I would worry about 12-year-old snickering, so I think I'd probably just go with what I wanted to call
it. You'd be
it.
Okay with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Shut up, fool! Mr. T's angry at you.
Wow, out of nowhere. Where's he been all this time?
Remember how we talked about Dwayne The Rock Johnson being upset with his Fast 8 co-stars? The girls were okay.
Yes.
It was an unnamed male member of the cast that The Rock had problems with, referring to them as an unprofessional candy ass. Well, now we know who he was targeting. None other than Vin Diesel himself. TMZ.com reporting that the two guys did not get along during filming. Producers brought them together for a tense meeting last Tuesday because it was nearly impossible to get them to shoot a scene together. And reportedly, Vin threw a hissy fit and up and left Atlanta the minute after he wrapped his last scene early yesterday morning. So Rock and Vin not getting along does not shock and surprise me. If you have to pick a side in that battle, knowing nothing
yeah.
about Team the situation, Rock. Who are you guessing is probably the more reasonable, level-headed one of the two?
And that's only 100% Dwayne Johnson.
That's just a guess here. I don't know nothing about nothing. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hulk Hogan, 63 years old today.
That's right, brother.
Viola Davis turns 51. Joe Rogan, comedian, UFC commentator, turns 49 years old. Anna Gunn, love her, 48 years old. And Chris Hemsworth, Thor! God of Thunder, with his mighty hammer, Mjolnir.
Is that the name of the hammer?
Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Are you just speaking backwards? What's happening?
It does sound like the hardest game in the world. Chris is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I haven't had a chance to dissect the lyrics of the song Bang Bang, but apparently it is written from the point of view of a mass shooter, Billy Joe Armstrong says. That was the inspiration for the song. The album is going to be coming out on October the 7th. It's going to be called Revolution Radio. That is a first brand new Green Day song in a long, long time. It's called Bang Bang, and we'll play it for you every hour today, all day long here on K-Rock.
All right. Do we have to talk about this, or can we somehow avoid it and talk about should talk about anything else.
Anything.
Look, we've covered this topic in the past, but it's been a long time. And Dennis Rodman came out with a video that we put up at KRock.com. You can see it in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup right now, where he sits down with Viceland. They have a show called Party Legends. And Dennis Rodman is a lot of things, and I think a party legend might be one of them.
Sure.
I think that's accurate in his case. He says that he has been to the emergency room not once, not twice, but three times for breaking his penis. Okay? I don't even know medically how that works. Because your penis is not a bone, right?
Right.
So what do
well,
you
yours
break?
Yours isn't.
that's for damn sure. Let's hear the first clip of Dennis describing what happened.
Go over there. Walk over there. I said, okay, I'll walk over there. She said, I want you to run and jump in my p-. I said, all right, great. So I go run on the boat, and I dive like this, and literally do, I'm like, oh, blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was him basically just being a little too exuberant in the bedroom, and I guess he missed or something happened where he ended.
Well, he ran and tried to jump into it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's never going to end well.
Right. That's a terrible idea from the beginning. He should have said, no, that sounds horrible. That's a terrible idea.
I don't think Dennis Rodman turns down very many bad ideas, though.
That's
look, We could speculate all day, but we happen to know an expert, our good friend Dr. Mo, Long Beach General Trauma and Vascular Surgeon, once again back on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Dr. Mo.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Very good.
Doing great. Long time no talk. You been good?
I'm doing fantastic. And hi, Allie.
Hi, Dr. Mo.
Breaking your penis is a thing?
Totally a thing.
Does it happen a lot?
It's sort of in the, when you're talking about penile trauma, there's like amputations and lacerations and penetrating trauma, all sorts of stuff that can, the bad things that can happen there. And yeah, blunt trauma with the fracture is a thing.
A fracture.
Right. So what are you fracturing?
Yeah. Yeah, explain that to us, doctor.
All right. So, FCC.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the way that
give us the clean version.
Correct. The way that the male gets an erection is the penis has these two sacs in them that fill with blood, and that's what makes it hard. And the sacs are this thin, leathery. They have this like thin, leathery or fabric consistency. So when they get filled with blood, that's how you maintain an erection.
All right.
Now, if you try to like angle it or you strike it against something and it tries to bend in the middle where there is no bend, it'll snap some people have said it's a pop, or it sounds like a fresh piece of celery that you snap in half.
So in other words, the little bag inside that holds the blood breaks open?
It'll snap. Yeah, exactly right. It'll rip, like, transversely. So instead of ripping, like, the length of the penis, it'll go crossways.
I need to lay down. I'm getting dizzy.
Actually, just talking about it makes me a little woozy.
I don't even have one. I'm woozy.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah. So how much trouble are you in if this happens? I mean, clearly Dennis Rodman lived to have sex another day because he was able to break it two more times. But, I mean, is it the type of thing that you just will recover from naturally, or do you have to do surgery? What do you do in that instance?
Yeah, well, he needs to either, like, alter his technique somewhat. Or make better decisions. Because, actually, I don't think he was the one that was running and jumping. I think it was the other way around, like...
Oh.
They were playing some sort of strange game of horseshoes, and she threw herself onto the thing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Ouch. So that's a terrible idea.
All right. So
the most common way. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you put it in a cast?
Okay.
Sling? You put it in a sling?
No. We need to write this down because that's actually an option. That's absolutely right.
No.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. They have a splint thing, kind of. Now. They don't do that. We don't want to do that because studies have shown that if you can actually go in surgically and sew up the hole and make everything better, if you just sit there and watch it and put ice on it and splint it and let it heal, there's like a 30% rate that bad things happen afterwards with scarring and bending.
Oh.
And,
but oh
if you
my.
Fix it surgically, it goes down to 4%. So nowadays, the treatment is you get yourself to a hospital, a urologist will see you, and it's fixable, better decision making.
Let me ask a different question.
Sure.
Is it more likely to happen a second time if you've done it once?
Again, awesome question.
Thank you.
No, seriously. That's what I'm wondering about Dennis Rodman, is either he didn't have it fixed the first time and has like a weakness there that keeps blowing out like a blister on an old tire or something. I don't know. But the other thing that sort of bothers me is he said there's a lot of blood everywhere, and these things don't tend to bleed. It all bleeds internally.
I was trying to visualize that when you were describing the little bag with the blood in it, is how did all that blood end up outside of his
system? Yeah, so I'm thinking, again, because I do this too often, is that he's pierced and stuff.
Mm. Ah, that makes sense.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So there's another place for the blood to come out.
I'm just thinking, if he's pierced in his nose and every other place, I'm wondering if there's some other sort of, and that's why I sort of brought up the other sorts of trauma.
Okay, Dr. Mo,
yep.
How many times do you think you've seen this in your career?
I haven't seen this, like, every week. When I get to trauma, it's pretty obvious what's happening, and then they'll call a urologist. But if you talk about the combination of, like, this is sort of on the spectrum of penile trauma,
right.
It's ridiculously common.
Really?
Right.
Ridiculously common.
Oh, yeah.
So are we lucky if it hasn't happened to us? Is it that common?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you can say you're not getting lucky enough, so...
That's a good point.
I mean, you have to use it.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this then, because in one of the parts of this interview, and again, you can see the whole interview with Dennis Rodman, including some very tasteful animation as to all of the incidents at kevinabean.com. He talks about how he was having a lady friend over in a hotel in New York, and this happened again. He said, crack, another one. I can't believe it. So he goes to the emergency room, and they take him back to see a doctor. And that doctor goes out and gets another doctor, who gets another nurse, who gets another steward, who gets another person from the hospital janitorial staff. And the next thing you know, there's like 15 people in the room wanting to look at it and wanting to talk to him about it. Is it still that kind of excitement when something like this walks through the door where the word spreads throughout the hospital, my God, you got to see this?
Is it the Dennis Rodman factor?
I think it's partially, there's Dennis Rodman here, and oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. This is something that involves a couple of people, you know, specialists, and they may have called the urologist and maybe a surgeon first and then a urologist. I can sort of see how that happens because the one time I had to take a titanium ring off somebody, I had to have the Urban Rescue Unit of Los Angeles Fire Department help me take it off, and that was a crowded room.
I don't even want more details on that one.
Well, in this the case in New York, he said they told him he had a contused penis. Is that the proper terminology for this, doctor?
No, contusion is a bruise. And so if it fractures, that's a rip in what's called the tunica albuginea. It's that little bag that I told you about has a name, and that rips. If that rips, that's not a contusion. If it bruised and it's all bruised and battered and whatever, fine, that's a contusion. But a fracture is a fracture. So
gosh.
I'm also wondering if he's sort of not exactly being precise with his diagnosis.
Yeah, maybe he meant confused penis.
Yes, very possibly.
But have you seen him? That's entirely possible.
And the final thing from Dennis Rodman in this interview that was amazing to me is that a nurse apparently took a picture of his penis and then tried to blackmail him for $25,000 to not sell it to the National Enquirer.
Get out. Are you serious? Yes.
A nurse. I mean, that's a career ender, I'm sure, if it was revealed that happened.
I would be really suspicious because not only is that a career ender, that's like a hospital thing. I mean, they come after hospitals have had problems where, like, students and other people have taken pictures for, like, educational purposes and get in trouble for it. So I think, yeah, that's a career ender. That's a hospital thing. I'm wondering how much validity there is.
Yeah,
I don't believe anything he's saying now. Dennis Rodman's full of it.
All right, so before we say goodbye, Dr. Mo, Long Beach General Trauma and Vascular Surgeon, your advice, again, to avoid this kind of penile trauma?
Proper technique.
Proper technique. Okay, just be careful where it goes.
Aim well, yes.
Aim well. All right, that's a good one. Thanks, Doc. We enjoyed talking to you.
Anytime. Talk to you guys later.
Look at Jimmy Pardo, ladies and gentlemen, stepping into the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you. Good. Thank you.
Jimmy, of course, a very popular comedian and host of the Never Not Funny podcast, which is going to be appearing live at the Burbank Comedy Festival next Thursday at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Is a comedy festival? It's not just you. There's a bunch of stuff going on there at Flappers?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff, I guess. I forget who else is on the program. I'm not the PR person for them. It's not my responsibility. But I got the primo 5 p.m. next Thursday slot.
Oh, yeah.
They say, you want to do it at 8 o'clock? You want to come in when people are off work? I said, no. You want to do something like at 10:30, maybe you get the late night? No, don't give me that. Give me 5 o'clock.
Why are you doing it at 5 o'clock?
They offered it.
But don't you say who's going to come? Homeless people?
Of course, we've been joking about that like ever since we accepted the spot. Like,
why did you accept it?
Why not? You know,
because no one can come.
No, really, everybody's tweeting me going, I'd be there, but I have to work.
Sure,
of course. But to me, it's like a snow day. If if nobody shows up, we make fun of the fact nobody shows up.
Okay.
And if a lot of people show up, it's like, hey, it's amazing. People showed up at 5 o'clock.
All right. Well, look, that's when the best comedy is always done, at 5 p.m. on a Thursday.
Dinner hour, that's exactly what it is.
All right. So tickets for that are going to be available at flapperscomedy.com. Yeah. On sale now, just $20. See the great Jimmy Pardo. Is this going to be the whole Never Not Funny crew is going to be there?
You know what it is? It's Matt Belknap and our video guy, Elliot Hochberg, and our intern, Garen Cockrell, will be there. And then our guest is Janet Varney, will be stopping by.
Okay. And it's in the dinner hour, so you give it serving dinner?
I believe they have meals there at the Flappers. I'm not responsible for
I'm saying it's.
I only know about my show.
But you're asking people to skip dinner.
I'm asking people to skip work. I'm asking people to skip spending time with their family and putting their kid to bed. 5 p.m.
Speaking of shows.
Comedy's always great under the sun.
You've often said that, Jimmy. Speaking of shows,
yes.
No one loves concerts more than my friend Jimmy Pardo.
That's true.
One thing I know about Jimmy is he loves getting out and seeing live music. And last night you saw Adele.
I did go see Adele last night.
First of all, do you use your show business connections to get tickets, or are you just one of the lucky stiffs who was able to buy them through Ticketmaster when they went up?
None of those. None of the above. A, because it doesn't apply. Right. Celebrity doesn't help me in any way, shape, or form.
Did you sneak in?
I snuck in. My wife and I, she got on my shoulders. We got a big trench coat on, and we walked in. I went on StubHub.
You did the secondary market. Gotcha.
Secondary market, and I didn't spend crazily. You could have, but I waited until the last minute. I waited until they went down a little bit. Still, I think if my wife knew what I spent, she'd leave me. But we were second row in the up top, the third level, which is not great. But it was still, I'm putting in the top five shows I've ever seen.
Yeah,
oh, really.
Saw her last Friday night.
You saw her last Friday.
I did,
and you agree with this.
She's great.
Right?
And some people are complaining that she talked too much.
Shut up.
But I loved it.
I wanted her to talk more.
I did too, because she's got such a great attitude and a great sense of humor, and she makes fun of herself. I love
it. How great is it that she makes fun of herself?
I loved it.
I also loved that, there's some seats that were horrible, like kind of behind the stage. She took a little time to walk over and wave to those people and thank them for coming. Like, everything about her seems genuine, and like she's still in a coffee house.
Yeah, she's great.
But who's complaining she talked too much? You're
a lot of people. Yeah, there were a lot of people who were saying that.
But I don't feel that. I feel the opposite of that. I wanted her to talk more, and her songs were still great. You know what I mean?
I'm wearing a Cure T-shirt because I saw the Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. They said nothing.
They almost always say
nothing. It's always like, thanks. And it's like, so don't you want them to talk a little?
Yeah. She always tells funny little snories. You get to know her.
What
you
are
feel
snories?
Like a story. I said snoring. But you feel like after you leave, you got to know a little piece of Adele.
I felt like, to that point, I felt like a rube that I'm up in the third. Like, isn't she adorable? Isn't she just great?
I didn't use the word adorable because I usually don't, but I love her.
No, you probably use your contacts to get terrific seats.
You know.
It looked like he was on stage.
Yeah, Kevin took pictures that looked like he was no more than 10 feet from Adele.
Where you wanted to, now? Can I ask you a question? Because I don't want to pull the curtain back.
Okay.
Because like a Jimmy Pardo show is always different, but yet it's always the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when people go, I'm going to stay for the second show, like, oh, you don't want to do that. It's kind of the same thing. It looks like a magic trick. So did she pull three little girls up by chance and do a selfie?
No, but she pulled one little girl up.
She did.
Girl had turned her back to Adele to take the selfie, so Adele was in it, and she saw it and pulled her up on stage, and it was fantastic. Oh. The girl was almost crying. She interviewed her for a second.
That's what she did with these three.
Yeah, which is great.
But it wasn't that. She just saw them in the audience. She goes, look at you three. Do you guys want a selfie? And the place was like, what?
I've been monitoring the Adele situation. She has pulled up a woman
Instead of going, by the way.
Wait, somebody sang with her?
Somebody sang with her 2 nights ago. On last Saturday night, she pulled up a Adele impersonator.
Okay.
So they did a little back and forth, took a picture.
Really?
She's had different children come up. She also has been going around different parts of the stage and bending down.
Well, she did that, which
so
is adorable.
So people can take the selfies with her behind. She's the best.
And then she was making fun of her smile and making fun of her. She goes, I still have that snaggle tooth.
I love that. That was my impression,
by the way.
That was good. That was your Adele?
It's uncanny.
Can we hear some more?
You thought it was her, right? You thought she liked it?
I couldn't believe you brought her in with you, Jimmy.
Well, listen, we were lucky enough to spend some time with Adele last night. She's delightful. We went out for hot wings and made a nice night, the three of us.
But I agree with both of you guys who are saying, look, if you just want to see someone walk out on stage and sing a song, then watch the goddamn music video, right? But if you want to feel like it's alive and it's a once-in-a-lifetime singular experience, then this is what you want. Is you want an entertainer who's going to engage and be in the moment that night.
It's also a strange thing in that most bands can't see the fans because of the lights that are in your eyes.
Right.
When you walk out on stage, all you see is lights, and she seems to be in the moment paying attention to the people that are there.
Everybody, and that's
rare.
Very rare. And those people are stupid. You're dumb if you are complaining she's talking too much.
Agreed.
Dumb.
Dumb.
Trump 2016.
Whoa.
Jimmy. Hashtag. I forgot the hashtag.
Who did you bump out of your top five concert experiences of all time to put Adele in?
Boy, that's a great question. Who do I bump out of that? Well, you got Chicago in 82.
That's everyone's number one.
Well, that's a given, right? That goes without saying. You got Cat Stevens at the Microsoft.
Here we go.
You got
Jimmy.
I just can't believe he said that. Jimmy doesn't even know why we're so excited by that. Jimmy, listen to this.
We're going to change topics on
you
now.
Sorry, I'm interrupting your boring story to tell my boring story. All right, so here's what happened. So I come in this morning and I says to the guys, look, you know I never leave my house. You know I never go anywhere. I'm going to go see a concert. I'm going to leave the house and travel hundreds of miles to see a concert. I'm so excited. Long story short, I tell him who the concert is, and it's Cat Stevens, who's getting ready to do a little mini tour, a little 15-city mini tour, right? I've never seen him. Lifelong fan. I think he's a genius. I think he's brilliant. I can't wait to go see him.
Define genius and brilliant.
I'm getting nothing but hate from
you guys are all wrong. You're as wrong as the
nothing
people that
but
don't
hate.
Like
we're not that wrong.
You're close.
Okay, Cat maybe. Stevens is the real deal, right, Jimmy?
Oh, he's one of the best singer-songwriters of all time.
And I agree.
When I saw him at the micro, obviously he had not toured here in the States for, you know,
35 years.
Legal reasons.
And
so you went the last tour, 2014.
We went in 2014, my wife and I, and, you know, when Where Did the Children Play, when he did that, I start welling up.
Yeah.
And by the time he got to Father and Son.
Good night.
Yep. Good, sobbing like an idiot.
Little Oh Very Young, Little Wild
Very
World.
Young, oh, my God. It was.
Little Peace Train.
Quit rolling your eyes, you son of a bitch. I swear to God.
You guys are losing me. I don't give a crap about this
you
guy.
You went to Adele, you puss. You can't
go to
make fun of us.
Well, why not?
Because it's wonderful songs. Don't you have a heart?
Because it's great music, Kevin, that stands the test of time. Because in 100 years, people will still...
I'm sorry.
I drove Jimmy to curse.
I'm sorry.
I'm so happy right now.
I stopped at the U.
I've never driven you to curse before. That makes me so happy.
That's amazing.
Good Lord. Did we catch it in time?
We did.
Yeah.
Okay.
No worries.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got you on my side, Dad, because I'm going to go see some Cat Stevens.
You're
going to
love,
gonna love
it. And by the way,
he's
going to be very
go,
proud.
He's not going to see it. And he hasn't bought tickets.
Oh, okay.
He's one of those
I'm going to go. All right. We got to take a quick break. Okay. Jimmy Pardo is here. By the way, and we'll talk about this when we come back, the man who currently owns the internet as a result of winning At Midnight last night on Comedy Central.
Thank
How about
you guys.
That? So literally, this is
win.
The guy. He's the boss of the internet right now.
Sure.
Never Not Funny, the Jimmy Pardo podcast live at the Burbank Comedy Festival is happening at the primo time of next Thursday, 5 p.m. at Flappers Comedy Club. Tickets on sale now, flapperscomedy.com. We'll be right back with Jimmy after this. Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. As I am fond of mentioning, he is my closest friend in show business. Mm-hmm. Always great to see Mr. Pardo. One quick P.S. to the Adele conversation we were just having, Jim. I want your opinion on this, and that is she is being rumored to be in discussion to play the Super Bowl halftime show next year.
Great.
Now, you love Adele. You saw Adele last night. You're a huge fan, but does she work for you as a Super Bowl halftime entertainer? I say no.
If she does, I'll tell you this, Kevin, I think, hi, I'm Jimmy. Just fell asleep in the middle of the sentence. If she does Rolling into the Deep and Set Fire to the Rain, I think yes.
What
and
about
a little
rumor
has
it
maybe.
Maybe rumor has it.
Yeah, but that's it for like
that's it.
I mean, you don't want to.
Hello? You know, she's got high energy. She's not a singer, and a dancer, and a choreographer,
no,
and explosions and costumes.
I don't really want to cry during the halftime Super Bowl,
unless you're losing your bets.
Right. Well, that's good.
Right? I might move that along a little bit. I mean, she can't do any of her nightclub chatter either. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good call.
I don't know that her going out there singing Skyfall at 3 in the afternoon is going to work.
Listen, if anybody knows about matinees, it's me. So she can pull it off.
All right.
Skyfall right at 3 p. Yeah, you're right.
I want to talk about At Midnight last night, because you did win the internet. You've been on the show a bunch of times before, right?
Not as many as... It turns out Doug Benson's been on 31 times.
Well, yeah, he's on a lot. Really funny, though.
He's
That's why they keep asking it back.
I'm staring into a camera doing a take that doesn't exist. I'm doing
That's right. There's no one can see it.
I just went,
I mean, I can see it.
Did a Milton Berle.
Good reference.
Pull back the curtain for me on that show, because
what do you need?
Because I can't believe y'all are as quick as you appear to be on TV. Tell me that ahead of time they don't give you a heads up what the categories are.
I don't know what the rules are about At Midnight, but I'll tell you what, we are sharp, fast people. All right. I don't know what the I don't know if there's a non-disclosure agreement, but we show up and we are Chris asks questions and we have very funny answers
immediately,
almost before he's done with the question.
Wow, that's great. It's great that you can do that.
Well, we're good. We're that quick.
I feel like emails come the morning of your appearance is what I feel like.
No. Want to guess another time?
Noon?
No.
When you arrive at the studio 2 hours before filming?
Yeah. We have a 2 o'clock call time for a 4 o'clock taping. We get the stuff right around two. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's...
Well, it works. It's a great show.
Yeah. You kind of, you sit in your dressing room and you... And again, I don't know if I'm screwing up that entire show, and I'll never be asked back. I'm on once a year. Who cares? I think I've been on 6-7 times. But yeah, then you sit there, and you know, and then they give you a producer, and you bounce some ideas off him, and it's great. It's a real good process.
Do you ever have a great line, and somebody else says it before you?
Well, you know what happens. You give your truth be. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. I don't know.
Just
how
say it.
You say what your jokes are going to be,
okay,
so that doesn't happen.
Oh, so they can sort of make sure everybody has different stuff.
Like I had a funny, like last night was do your, who would be a great guest to host Saturday Night Live and do it your best Don Pardo. And mine was the comedy team of Eric and Don Jr. And and then I had to lose mine because David Krumholz had another Trump joke that he was going to do.
Gotcha.
And so they.
Do you think it's possible that they took your line and then went over to somebody else and went, Pardo's going to do this
Pardo's
one?
Pardo's got this one. You want it? He's got six other good ones.
I can tell him not to do it.
That's very possible. I will say it's very possible.
Aren't you impressed, as I am every time I watch that show, at what a phenomenally great host Chris Hardwick
is? He is a terrific host. He is a he's. He's great.
No one talks faster than Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, he can slow that down. I'd like to see him slow that down.
He's one of those people that makes that look so easy.
So easy.
That when you're watching him, you go, oh, that would be simple.
And let me tell you something. I've hosted game shows with comedians and stuff like that, either live or on television. And he's dealing with three different personalities every night. And he's got all this tech stuff he's got to deal with, and he's got a show to give. And he makes it look like
he's effortless. Yeah.
It's effortless.
Yeah. It's annoying.
And I told my
wife
when I got home, I was like, I'm not jealous because he has the gig. It's not a bitterness for that. I'm jealous that he gets to do it because I would love to go to work every day and have that kind of fun. And and he's great. He's a good guy, too.
Great guy. Chris Hardwick. Great guy. And it was a genius idea. I mean, it was the first television show that kind of harnessed the power of social media, too, to kind of make that part of the experience. And they really, really did a great job.
And I think that's a Tom Lennon creation, right? Tom Lennon and Ben Garant?
I think so.
Didn't they create that thing?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I think it was called Twitter Dome in the pilot
really?
Stage. Yeah, I
oh,
think
is
so.
That right?
I believe so, yeah.
Jimmy, I'm surprised you don't host more things on TV.
Yeah, you and I both, brother.
Because you're a great host.
Yeah. Did you hear all the things I said about Hardwick? Times 1,000. That's how good I am.
What's the dream gig for Jimmy Pardo?
You've got
a pretty good gig now running your own podcast empire, and that's been very successful for you. You get to do stand-up whenever you want. You're living a good life. I know you're not complaining, but what's the dream gig when you put your head on the pillow at night that you'd love to do?
Well, at the risk of opening a can of worms, it was, you know, his Match Game. And, you know, we had been batting that around. Conoco and Comedy Bang Bang were collaborating and trying to get Fremantle on board to have us do that. And they went with some guy named Alec Baldwin. Good luck to him. great actor. Great actor.
Right.
Great actor.
He's a great actor, is what you're saying.
He's one of the best actors.
Right.
Top five.
What are you saying?
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
So as a game show host, he's a terrific actor.
He's terrific. He's acting. He's doing a great job in that role. my dream since I was a kid was to host Match Game. And you know, who knows? Maybe that dream will come true one day. But I love hosting game shows because I like having a format that, like, basically what I just said about Chris, is that you get to then have fun with either the contestants or if you have comics on the comics. Mm-hmm. But you have a structure. You have a through line that you have to stick to as opposed to just being loosey-goosey or, hey, what project are you working on? Who cares? Right?
Right,
I mean, you guys know that. You have to fake it every day with you. You know what? I want to say it may have.
Shouldn't use that word.
Oh, that's another one. My good God.
Yeah. No worries. You just said it twice.
Jimmy Potty Mouth Pardo.
What the heck's happening? What am I, Dice Clay? What's happening?
Don't
say that word, honey.
You ever had a penis injury, Mr. Pardo?
I didn't know that was off limits. I apologize.
No worries.
I have. I think I may have done that once, like a small. In hearing that doctor speak about it, I think it's possible that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it. I think I did.
I think you'd know.
I think. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I'm saying I did, but I'm being kind of
coy about it. Why?
I don't know.
Okay, so you did.
I think so. What? I drank a lot in the 90s.
Okay.
I drank a lot in the 90s.
Right.
So
from what you remember, you did.
I think there was a time I couldn't go anywhere near it. Yeah, I think it was it was tender to the touch. I think it was.
Couldn't go anywhere near it. Learning.
I had to keep my distance.
Peeling back the layers on Mr. Pardo today.
I had to give it a wide berth.
And you got
can only get so far away from
for
it.
For how long?
What's that now?
For how long? I mean, like, what's the recovery time?
I think it was, like, several days. I think I had
just several days?
Yeah, it was. But I do remember it being, like, because when I heard the Rodman story, and then when I heard you guys talking about it, I was like, yeah, I think that did happen to me.
But you blacked out, so you're not sure.
Yeah, I drank a lot in the 90s. The 90s were I was Ray Milland of the Lost Weekend for the entire decade.
Great reference.
All right, Never Not right, Funny. The Jimmy Pardo podcast is going to be live at the Burbank Comedy Festival. Who's your, you said, I forgot.
We have our friend Jenna Varney is going to join us.
Jenna Varney's going to be
here. Yeah, it's a great Jenna
Varney. And that's at 8 p.m.?
No!
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, the late show at 10.
No, I don't have the late. No, that's somebody else. I've got the never used 5 p.m. slot.
I just feel like the people who are running Flappers are going to be like, we've never opened this early before. This is weird.
They're not going to be there either. You're going to show up.
Apparently they did 5 o'clock last year, and it was very successful. That's what I'm told.
That's what they told you?
Yes. Oh. And I don't want to tell you who it was, because it was like, of course it was. But it was.
Ah, because of the name. Okay.
He's a very successful podcaster. One of the...
Adam Carolla.
That's our guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, Adam could do it at, you know, 1 in the morning, and he's going to be fine.
He's going to have a crowd, right?
Right.
Well, I think it's going to be fun.
You should have him on.
You're going to do great, Jimmy. Flapperscomedy.com is where you want to go buy your tickets. $20. Always a pleasure to have you stop by. Thank you, sir. We enjoyed it.
Hope I didn't get kicked off the air.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:05.
Playing that brand new song from Green Day called Bang Bang for you again at 9 o'clock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Just want to give a heads up. Once again, Saturday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I will be taking the stage with Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have folks come out and hang out with us. We have a good time.
No.
Rare Saturday night show at the Improv for folks who can't make it in our usual Friday night slot. So go to improv.com, get your tickets. And,
I like that you move it around to keep people
come
guessing.
See us. It's either Friday or Saturday, really. It's about the best we do. Quick email here from Alan. I had no idea Bean had so many questions about the At Midnight show, he writes. Sad he doesn't know someone who was actually on that show. He could have asked those questions to before Jimmy Pardo. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was also on At Midnight. Won the internet on that show.
No kidding.
Didn't Bean never brought it up once, but he had a lot of questions.
He did.
About that show.
How does it work?
You get the questions?
I must have missed your episode. Early? Sorry.
It's like, you know, Bean loves people in radio except for us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So he loves to go out and have lunch with radio. I love radio people. Bean.
You want to have dinner?
Nope.
Not with you.
Oh, no, not you people. But other people in the world are interesting to me. He's a miracle. Speaking of hard to work with people, Thomas Gibson. You guys watch The Criminal Minds over there on CBS? Thomas Gibson on that show?
I know who he is, but I don't watch the show.
He was originally on Dharma and Greg, of course.
That's right.
And then he joined the cast of Criminal Minds. Has been suspended from that show after a fist fight on the set.
What? His message is being a loud-mouthed dick.
With a writer-producer, according to Variety. I'm sorry, it was not a fist fight. The actor allegedly kicked a producer during filming and was asked to leave. There are creative differences on the set and a disagreement, Gibson said in a statement. I regret that it occurred. We all want to work together as a team to make the best show possible. We always have and we always will. So he will likely be suspended for at least one episode, maybe two. And
I don't feel like that's the way to get ahead in life.
Kicking?
Right.
I don't know.
I feel like it helps you.
Worked for Messi, right? Oh, wait a minute. I might be confusing him with someone else. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are America's sweethearts. Yes, they are. And one person is reportedly tired of hearing about them. That would be Miranda Lambert.
I'm sure.
Sources are telling In Touch magazine that she is, and this is their quote, done being stepped all over. She's sick of hearing her ex discuss how Gwen saved his life. And apparently, she's going to start speaking out about the couple.
Right? It's on.
Hope somebody kicks somebody. And in the world of celebrity romance, Taylor Lautner is apparently embarrassed by his relationship that he had with Taylor Swift.
He should be.
He was ambushed during a Facebook live chat when Lea Michele brought up his ex-girlfriend Taylor Swift. And he revealed that she wrote the song Back to December about their short relationship. He was confused by that. He said they only dated for a few months after meeting on the set of Valentine's Day in 2009. And he couldn't understand how that warranted a song, but apparently you don't have to do much to get a song from Taylor Swift written about you. I don't know that song, but
I don't either.
I'm sure it's
exceptional. It's great. I'm sure it's a great song.
Of course it is. It's great. Hope she does a duet with Cat Stevens soon.
I'd listen to that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth, Thor, God of Thunder. 33 years old today. He's dreamy. I was just watching that Age of Ultron over the weekend. It's on cable, and boy, he's dreamy.
Yeah.
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 He does that hammer thing.
Yeah.
I will give you power, Ultron. Anna Gunn's 48 years old. Joe Rogan, UFC commentator and comedian, is 49 years old today. Viola Davis. She's not only Amanda Waller in the Suicide Squad, but also Allie. She stars in the show
How to Get Away with Murder.
She's 51 years old. And Hulk Hogan, the legendary wrestler, is 63. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk Olympics again for 1 second. And this is from a medical perspective as we welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky back to the show as we do every week at this time. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for coming on. We had we had some questions about something we've been seeing on our NBC TV every night, which is what look like giant hickey monsters are attacking our athletes. But apparently it is something called cupping. And I understand this has a little bit of a dubious medical history. We thought maybe you could enlighten us.
Well, it's not so much that it's dubious. It's that whenever it has been studied, it has not been shown to do anything really more than placebo. And I was fully prepared to sort of regale you with that data until Christine Fong, for the last 10 minutes, grabbed me on the phone and regaled me with the wonders of cupping. That it would change her life. It was the most glorious thing ever. She did it, and suddenly her shoulders moved again.
All right.
And then she.
But isn't that. Couldn't that be the very definition of placebo, though?
Yeah.
She wanted it to work, so it worked.
And not only that, her memory, I'm sure she's going to run in there any second and defend herself, but her memory is interesting in that the way she tells the story is suddenly it was better. And I went, well, take me through this. Well, we were doing acupuncture, physical therapy, local steroid injections, and then some cupping for 6 months, and then I was suddenly better.
So what you're suggesting is maybe all of the other things had more to do with
maybe yes, and maybe just time passing. But look, let's be fair to it, okay? Let's give it a little bit of due, which is
why don't you describe for people what it is?
Essentially, what it is a cup that literally a cup that lies over upon the skin and it's heated and then cools and pulls. It's like a sucking essentially. There's no difference. It's just done with heat than what you do with your mouth when you create a hickey. So my question is, why don't we just have people sucking on each other's shoulders or backs or muscles?
All right.
Might it not do the same thing? But who am I to say?
And what is it they think it's going to do for them when they sign up for cupping?
They think it's improving blood flow. Now, to be fair, Eastern medicine has a very different sort of a logic to it. They talk about energy flows, and this is sort of unlocking or breaking. Again, I'm no expert in this, but it's sort of helping the flow of chi into those unhealed regions.
Okay, all right. Lost me right there.
But when a guy like Michael Phelps does it, don't you think that he has access to all the information?
Well, let me stand back and get philosophical for a second. If it helps him, he should do it. I don't care what the mechanism is. Even if it is pure placebo, placebo is a terribly powerful phenomenon. And if it, you know, and Christine was saying how it helped her reduce pain medicine, fantastic, do it. So even if it is placebo, or if we haven't yet figured out the mechanism, or if it only works on some people in certain situations, but it's they're feeling better and getting better, by all means, I don't see any real downside except that can scar. All those marks, those can be permanent sometimes.
Because it can be broken capillaries, right?
Well, that's what that is. I mean, you're really taking blood to the surface. And again, I don't understand how it could possibly be mechanically or really functionally different than a hickey.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Dr. Drew. And Christine, I'm glad you're here because I want to hear from you as well.
Oh,
but let me ask
is.
You this. When you say that as long as it's working, go ahead and do it, what's the downside? Isn't this just like, hey, I'm going to see a tarot card reader and I believe it works, so I'll pay that person. Isn't it still a little bit of a ripoff if somebody is charging you to do something that isn't physically going to help you?
Well, but again, I took off my doctor hat and put on philosopher hat and said, okay, from a philosophical perspective, fine. Now you're asking, what about the ethics of somebody who's charging for these things? We'd have to parse out exactly how much it actually helps somebody.
Okay,
and,
Christine,
you know,
why did you
help somebody? And the charges are reasonable. They're not exploiting people, so okay.
Gotcha, Christine. Why did you think the cupping was so effective for you, and yet science doesn't show it working for people?
So it's not something that I was excited to do, but I had a really bad car accident, and they wanted to do surgery on my back and not my fovea, and they were like, you could also try alternative things like physical therapy and stuff, which I did for 5 years, and at the end of that time. I was okay. I had motion again. I could use my back. My neck was working, but I still had a lot of pain. And all the doctors would ever do ever is write me prescriptions for drugs.
Right.
That's the only option they offer you for pain management. So that's why I started to look at other things and I went to acupuncture. I did that for a while. It helped a lot with the pain, but it still didn't help my shoulder with mobility.
Okay.
So then that's when they suggested cupping and I did it and all of a sudden it was working, but it took like 6 months. I mean, it wasn't like it was overnight, but it's the only additional thing I added. I wasn't taking painkillers anymore. I wasn't doing physical therapy. And
I love the way Christine tells history. Suddenly it was better. But it wasn't sudden. It was like 6 months.
Suddenly, as in like,
it
was better.
I wasn't excited about, but my family's been doing this for thousands of years. Anyway.
I remember it years ago because it was either Jennifer Aniston or Gwyneth Paltrow showed up on a red carpet and you saw her back and everyone freaked out. Like, who's beating Gwyneth Paltrow? And she was kind of the first to bring it to the forefront.
Then it's bad.
Oh.
No. Let me tell you something. When I was in training back, you know, 30 years ago, I worked in a county hospital and we did a lot of our patients were Mexican and immigrants, and they did a lot of this back then. They saw the curanderos is what they saw. And my concern about that was I had people who were really medically ill getting cupped and needed to be in the hospital, and people were screwing around with them. That's my biggest concern, is that somebody, you know, is properly diagnosed and properly treated. And then if they want an ancillary sort of treatment, if it helps them, okay.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing, Dr. June. You're very generous with your time, as always. We appreciate it. So we see them using it for pain in Christine's case. What's the reason that Michael Phelps is using it? Like, what is he claiming it's for pain management?
Pain, I think, mobility. He hasn't really spoken about it.
Okay.
But again, so this is, you know, we're talking about somebody who hundredth of a second means a different is winning and losing. So I understand he's going to reach for anything that might possibly work. And as I said, even if that's placebo, if it gives him that hundredth of a second, keep going.
But the people who are using it, as I see in this article that Christine printed out for us, people are using it for things like shingles and acne. They're missing the boat with cupping, right?
That's where I draw the line. That's where I start to get problems.
Gotcha.
Disturbed. And that's where I saw some catastrophes from that when I was in training. So that's why I've always been a little negative on it.
You can watch Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4 in the afternoon. Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Cathwood on KABC from noon till 3. And, of course, his fine family of podcasts at drdrew.com. Great chat, Doc. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Anyway, I got a lot of new things to play tonight. And, of course, some of the new Monkees I'll be playing because I went to their concert on Friday. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. They played in Monterey at the Golden State Theater, and I had to rent a car because my GTO isn't running as well as it used to.
Oh,
so I had to rent a car, and just spur-of-the-moment, we ended up leaving at 3 o'clock and made it to Monterey.
Tell us more.
Where the Monkees were playing with Mike Nesmith of the Monkees. He joined them on the encore, did about 3 or 4 songs. Okay. It was incredible.
Which
songs?
All the way in Monterey.
You mentioned it was in Monterey.
So Mike Nesmith, there they were, all three original Monkees on stage doing Monkey songs.
Right.
Also on August 13th on Saturday,
American
Cinematheque is going to present the release of the 4 Monkey episodes on Blu-ray.
Oh.
And that's on Saturday, August 13th. And Mickey Dolenz is going to be there in person.
Enough. No kidding.
He's going to be doing a Q&A.
Enough monkeys.
So that's Saturday.
That's a lot of monkeys.
For the release of the Monkees DVD on Blu-ray on Rhino.
DVD on Blu-ray.
Okay.
So that's Saturday. It starts at 6:30 in the afternoon.
With that in the afternoon.
I'm out of here, and I'm going to head home.
Okay.
Hope to get some sleep. A lot of partying over the weekend.
Sure. Oh.
Going out to Monterey.
You bet.
See the Monkees.
Uh-huh.
Michael,
did you drive your car? Did you have to rent one?
Don't remember.
And here are the monkeys. Okay.
Thank you, Roddy. That's a lot of monkeys.
Yeah.
So wait, it's a DVD on Blu-ray?
Yeah, it's that got the DVD on Blu-ray.
Why would you do it that way? It just seems like it'd be cleaner just to do it straight to the Blu-ray.
I don't know, man. Just watch the Blu-ray instead, but
yeah, I would think so, too. All right, it is Thursday morning, 9:42, time for a final look at showbiz. Here's Ralph.
Let's talk more about the monkeys, shall we?
Really? You got something else?
No.
I was just teasing.
However, Star Wars fans will be excited to know that the upcoming Rogue One, a Star Wars story trailer, will make its debut tonight during NBC's coverage of the Rio Olympics. So if you're a Star Wars geek, you want to make sure you watch the air rifle competition, whatever they got going on tonight, and you can see Gareth Edwards. Rogue One, a Star Wars story. More footage, stuff we haven't seen before. Very exciting. There's a little teaser on the internet right now. Of what
yeah, that little 15 look like. Seconds is, looks pretty cool.
Yeah. See some new footage, including Ben Mendelsohn's character and Mon Mothma. Genevieve O'Reilly, and she's got a bigger part in this. She may remember that character from
The Monkees.
Not The Monkees, oh. No. I believe it was Empire. But so there you go, nerds. Heads up,
Ali, you're our number one Star Wars fan.
I do enjoy it.
What's your level of interest of Rogue One?
Extreme.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks terrific.
Why are you not excited about it, Bean?
No, I am very much. I just wonder, look, it was easy to get the world, to whip the world into a frenzy over A Force Awakens because it had, you know, Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and whatnot coming back. But this is, you know, now it's a little different playing field this time around. I just wondered if people were going to be as excited for this one as they were for that one.
But you forget that people were excited about the prequels as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Phantom Menace, and, you know, had none of the original stars from the original films, and people still... lined up to watch that.
They regretted it, but they did go.
So why would you think it'd be hard to whip up interest in Rogue One, a Star Wars
story? I
just
didn't know, and it had also been years since the last Star Wars movie, last year when A Force Awakens comes out, and now we're just coming off of a Star Wars movie. I just wondered if maybe it's hard to generate that same kind of excitement.
You're a strange little man.
Just thinking about things, that's all.
Right.
But this is the thing that all evidence would prove otherwise.
That
there's no
asking.
Difficulty whatsoever to get people interested in a Star Wars movie.
I wasn't saying and yet nobody cared.
You're sweating over this. Oh, how are people going to be interested in a Star Wars movie? Why does your head go there?
I was just curious how it was playing to the to
more
the
importantly, when you think something, do you have to say it? All of it?
You remember that first trailer that came out? People were blown away by it.
But there's been a Star Wars movie before. There's been several. Okay. No one seems to be that interested. How are people going to be interested in this Star Wars movie?
What's your point?
My point is...
What the hell?
This isn't another in the Police Academy franchise. It's a freaking Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Why are you curious about whether people will get excited for it or not?
I just am. I can't... I'm just... right?
God damn it.
Right? Not with that guy.
Y'all are killing it right now.
All right, thank you.
Just, it's hard. That's all I'm saying.
It really is.
Quick reminder, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose on Saturday night. We'd love to have everybody come out and see us 10 p.m. on Saturday night. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. We have a pretty good time.
Would you like me to join you?
We're all full up. Sorry.
A special guest? I can sit in with you guys?
It's a very small stage.
He can clarify things.
No, yeah.
And by that, I mean stop them in their tracks.
We're going to put them in the corner of the stage like you would a sign language translator. So when things are just obvious and don't need any clarification, we'll go to Bean and he can just beat it to death with a club. Saturday night we may be talking about how Mexican television is better than all other television. I would direct you, if you'd be so kind, to my Twitter feed at Ralph Garman on Twitter. Please go and check out the little clip of footage I put there from the Mexican talk show where a lion attacks a toddler. So I think you may want to check out that footage.
That sounds terrible.
It's bad.
Wow.
It's a bad idea on every possible level. And it just gets worse as the clip goes on.
I don't want to see that.
Well, nothing, no blood is drawn.
The kid's fine.
Kid's not fine.
Okay,
he's
not fine.
Kid will be in therapy forever.
Okay.
Because mom was sitting next to a lion cub, and the lion did not like the toddler at all. And the best part is the trainer, in quotes, who kept saying to the kid, tranquila, tranquila, which I believe is relax. While the kid's leg is in the lion's mouth. Everything about this is wrong.
Wow.
Yet your conclusion is that Mexican TV is better than American TV.
I'm with him on that.
Yes.
Their game shows are amazing.
That is a bad game.
It really
well,
is.
That's not a game.
Their new game show,
Hide the Toddler
Lion's Teeth, is not a good game. I would not want to play. Apparently, that's why they use toddlers, because they're the only ones who are don't know not to get into the pit.
But the kid's fine, you said.
The kid apparently is fine, yeah.
Okay.
The lion pretty much just gets a pant leg, but it's not for lack of trying.
Terrifying.
So no harm, no foul.
There's a lot of harm, a lot of foul.
No one's saying that.
So it sounds like it's fine.
Everything is wrong. Don't put babies near lions, first of all. Second of all, don't take the lions out of the jungle, trainer lady. Why is the, put the lion back where you found it? It's just everything.
You got a lot of rules, man.
I do. I have a lot of rules.
No bueno.
No bueno is what we're saying. Hey, Flash. Oh, Flash.
When's it come back?
Comes back in September.
Okay.
I think. No. Sorry. October 4th. There's that information right here in the story. October 4th, Tuesday, is the return to third season of The Flash. But everyone's very excited because they just announced Mirror Master, right? Mirror Master.
Mm. Oh, he or she is terrific.
Mirror Master is one of the great Flash rogues. One of his arch nemesis being brought to the big small screen for the first time. So, Sam Scudder, coming. Mirror Master.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
Mirror Master can hide in mirrors and then step out of the mirror. Boom! Hiya! How are you? And back in the mirror.
Okay.
Awesome.
But
the actor, Grey Damon has been cast as Mirror Master. So, you know him from Aquarius, if you watch that show. He plays Detective Shape on that show. And he was also Hastings Ruckel.
Come on. Now you're just making up words.
He played a character named Hastings Ruckel on the final season of Friday Night Lights.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, well.
Can I ask a question, Ralph?
I wish you would, Allie, because this just keeps getting better. This whole segment just keeps getting
more
entertaining.
If he pop out of mirrors.
Ah! Mirror Master.
Right.
Right. Any reflective surface, really.
I was going to say he's very limited into when he can attack you, or you have to be by a mirror.
Any reflective
surface. A window?
A window.
Okay. If you're wearing glasses?
Perhaps the lenses of your glasses.
Okay.
If you're wearing mirrored shades?
Sure.
A highly polished mahogany table?
Okay. Because I feel like he's not a great...
Well, you have to lure the villain someplace. You have
to
lure your enemy to a mirror, yes.
Well, that's...
That's sort of lame.
A bar of gold?
But I like the Flash, so I'm in.
Yeah, trust me.
Sounds dumb, but I'm in.
They're gonna be great.
All right.
You.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. This is a whole new level of nerd.
You were the guy who mocked the concept of the Flash as, what good is that superpower? He can just run really fast.
I don't remember saying
you
that.
You were that guy.
I don't remember
that
at all.
So why don't you just sit back, relax, and enjoy Mirror Master, everyone. It's very exciting news. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hulk Hogan, 63 years old today. Viola Davis, she stars in a show called...
How to Get Away with Murder.
She's 51 years old today. Joe Rogan is 49.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh, man!
Joe Rogan is 49. Anna Gunn is 48. Chris Hemsworth, you know him as Thor from The Avengers, is 33 years old today.
You think people would be excited about another superhero movie? I think it'd be hard to get people interested in that.
Look, I've just asked.
There was one last year.
Just asking.
There's a lot of them.
Just asking questions.
People like them.
Just trying to stay current, that's all.
People probably won't be interested. What's your level of excitement?
Ralph Garman, I watch the Showbiz Beat.
They dropped the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers, handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour this afternoon on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we got the movie beat because it is Friday. We have Eric Andre in studio.
Boo.
Yay. And...
Boo.
Yay.
Bean knows what? How to sell a guest.
Why would anyone boo Eric Andre?
Because Eric Andre is my
hilarious.
Ultimate
because
you
he's got, nonsense, and Bean doesn't
he's
like
nonsense. I don't do
nonsense.
Shenanigans.
And he's so
I don't
good.
Do malarkey. I don't do any of the things that Eric Andre traffics in.
And also the great Jeff Bridges.
What?
Yes.
That we can all agree on.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new...
Can't wait to talk to Jeff Bridges.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.